much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
This is emergency. This is emergency. This is emergency. This is emergency.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Never gonna go down on you because you bring out so much sunshine and everyone throughout the whole world through your singing.
You know what I love? I love Oreo cookies.
Oh, it's so good. I just want some right now.
And it was also then syndicated all over the country as well, right?
Well, it wasn't syndicated. It was on a network.
Right, but the next version of the show.
It was live on the network.
Right, but then once that show ended, the next version of it, there was a syndicated version as well, right?
No.
No?
The next version of it was on Nickelodeon.
And now.
You see, Ralph was a homosexual, a person who demands an intimate relationship with members of their own sex.
Our feature presentation.
Is that why he was wrong on the syndication thing?
Apparently.
I don't know, but he sure wouldn't let that go.
No.
He sure was arguing with Mr. Wizard, a man who would know.
Since it was his show?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, a couple of phone lines open for the Kevin and Bean Monday edition of What It Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. That's the toll-free number, 1-800-520-1067. Mondays are a good day to call, too, because that's when we unveil the new prize. Not even we know what it is until we go to the phones, and it may be spectacular. Who knows? Could be a trip to the Super Bowl, for all you know.
I know it's not that.
Well, don't give away.
Nor would these calls be worth that. I might just
yes, that's true.
Yeah.
All right, Lisa brought in a great story for today, Kevin. And if you haven't heard about this, you're going to love it very much.
Oh, okay. In Menifee, which is a city in the Inland Empire.
Yeah. Which is in California.
Yes. Yeah. In the Menifee School District, they have pulled out the dictionaries from the library because there are words in there that are inappropriate for
in
children.
In the dictionary?
Children are looking up things like oral sex. They are going to form a committee.
Also known as...
Really? A committee to review the dictionary to make a decision as to whether or not it goes back.
Is this a public school?
Yeah.
Wow.
I believe so, yes.
How about that?
The dictionary.
Come on. We've been looking up words like oral sex in the dictionary since time began,
well,
practically.
That's not, I mean, the point to me is that who uses a dictionary anymore? It's all about online, and you can find that stuff.
Well, that's true,
well,
too. These must be educated children.
This is the first thing I thought, by the way. Fourth and fifth graders are on the internet, okay?
Right.
You better hope they look up the word oral sex in the dictionary rather than Google it. Because if they Google it, they're going to see things they'll never forget.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I love it. I love it when people just take something and just blow it out of proportion, and then they go, we got to do something about this.
Yeah.
And
they react like crazy.
Oh.
So we have to do something with that.
I want to be there when they have the discussion, when
me
they
too.
Decide, all right, is the word penis? I mean, should we leave that in the dictionary? Because what if kids read that word and then they go all bonkers?
Yeah, that would be great.
So, I mean, are they going to take a black marker and just mark through the stuff they think is didact? Is that what this is called? Didact the dictionary?
Yes. some folks felt that the definition of oral sex was not age appropriate. And the definition, by the way, is oral stimulation of the genitals, which is the tamest possible way that you could describe what you're looking up in that case, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
now that
anyway,
they got to look up genitals.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't have that in. You got to take that out. You can't have the word genitals in there, right?
Wow. I just thought that was amazing.
And bukkake's gone, right? I mean,
and boobies and 100 words that mean the same thing. Yeah. That's all got to be gone, too, right?
Cans, gone.
I don't think they have Japanese dictionaries.
Oh, all right. Just check it.
it is great.
We will have to do something with that because that
I
is
think
great.
So. Yeah.
Let's get started with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
New semester needs new interns here on the Kevin and Bean Show, which means that Daddy doesn't have his paperwork yet. So it looks like it's up to Kevin to tell us what we're going to win today at 1-800-520-1067 for What It Do Nephew.
Did you just call yourself Daddy?
He sure did.
You win a pair of lift tickets to Mammoth Mountain, along with a Burton snowboard from Doc's Ski House in Santa Monica.
Cool.
Wow.
That's a lot for these calls, honestly.
It sure is. Why don't we start with the unlikely named Vaughn? He is on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show, calling about the big football action yesterday. Hey, Vaughn, welcome.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up with you?
All I got to say is, who dat, baby? Who dat? 40 years of pain down the drain.
Yeah, I got to tell you, New Orleans has been there for, is it 40 exactly?
Well, for me, I've been rooting them along since Dempsey kicked the 63-yard field goal. And, I mean, how can you not root for a group that had a kicker that had a stump and a hump?
That's true. The dude did have half a foot.
Well, he was wonderful.
A kicker had half a foot.
Really?
Yeah.
What a blessing. I'm telling you. My wife gave me the okay for the 60-inch TV, new barbecue, gumbo,
nice.
Crawfish.
Wow.
Going
you're going for it.
Chino Hills, baby.
Nice.
It is. Look, I was rooting for Minnesota. I am a Brett Favre fan, and I was very disappointed with his play yesterday. But I will tell you that it is always exciting when a team that has never been to a championship in any sport goes. I mean, you want that to happen for all fans. Like you say, you've been a Saints fan for decades. It's nice to finally get some payoff.
It's been spectacular, and just awesome. What a
Minnesota had six turnovers. It was like they were just trying desperately to give it away.
They were using Brent as a punching bag back there. The poor guy just looked terrible. Hey, that's the game, you know?
What did he get? I don't think he ever got sacked, but he got knocked down like 15 times. I mean, unbelievable.
Here's the thing I could never understand is... Is Brett Favre's age, does that play a role in this, or did they say anything about it?
Yeah. They don't bring it up. No.
He's a warrior. He went through that whole game and kept getting back up, and every time he got back up, I was like, oh my God, when's he going to go down?
I know. I would be mad at my offensive line if that kept happening.
Yeah.
And the Saints thought they had knocked him out. I mean, at one point in the game, he's on the trainer's table. You know what I mean? Oh, I know. And it looked like he was gone, and the Saints had already started. All right, let's get what's our plan for the backup quarterback? And then out hobbles Grandpa. I mean, it was crazy.
Now, do you have a chance against the Colts?
I think so. I think if they run with the same defensive game plan and the offense is clicking, I think if they turn Reggie Bush loose, little Southern California and the Miami area, we'll be fine.
Right. Hey, these are the two teams that a lot of people wanted to see in the Super Bowl. It doesn't always work out that way. I mean, you got to remember when we were in week whatever it was, 13 or 14, whatever it was, and those were the two undefeated teams. Remember, everybody was like, it'd be so great if they could both hang on and make it to the Super Bowl. So it should be a good game.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the call, Vaughn.
Congratulations.
Psycho Mike, he's got to go with me or else get off the bandwagon, buddy.
He's got to go with you or get off the bandwagon.
He's got to go with the Saints.
Are you a Saints fan?
No, but I am rooting for them at this point, yeah.
Oh, well, me too, yeah. Yeah. All right, Vaughn. I didn't understand your last thing, but okay.
Why don't we try, let's try Todd. He's on line one, calling about an update on something we've been discussing here on the Kevin Amici Show. Hey, Todd, welcome.
Welcome. So, Mike should just go out like a gangster and get fired for eating the 5-pound gummy bear.
Mike wouldn't be the only one who would get fired, though. I don't care if he gets fired, but the rest of us would be brought down with him.
Being hit right in the nose, because believe me, I thought about that.
Yeah.
And I actually ran through that with a couple ideas with you guys as soon as it came down from the legal team that we weren't going to do that. I thought about just doing it in my apartment and filming it, and magically a video shows up on the internet. And but I wouldn't be the only one getting in trouble, Todd, and I'm not willing to do that.
I understand, but those lawyers need to learn their lesson.
Yeah.
The 5-pound gummer is going to get eaten regardless.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I don't think the lawyers are going to learn any lesson.
No.
All right, let's go to Diego. Hi, Diego.
Oh, what did you do, Kevin and Bean?
What did you do?
I just got back into school, my first semester in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened to be going to a kickboxing class, and so I'm petitioning for classes, all this stuff.
Right.
I ended up going to a dance class. Turns out I know a girl in there, so I, stopped to say hi. And she said, hey, let's hang out. So I said, great, let's do it this weekend. So she lagged on me Friday, lagged on me Saturday, and I was already, just saying, okay, well, I'm over it. Sunday, which was yesterday, she happened to be with a friend. So, we hang out and have a couple drinks, and one thing leads to another, and then I get them both naked, take a couple pictures on their camera, and I've had a great old night last night. I'm barely 18.
I don't know if I buy it.
You took some pictures?
On their camera.
On their camera.
Do you have any pictures?
On their camera.
You don't have any pictures of your own?
Oh, no, I wish. Yeah. They wouldn't let
me. You told Miss Cleo that they were lesbians, though.
Huh?
You told Miss Cleo they were lesbians when you called in?
Yeah, they were definitely.
Because you left that part out of the story entirely, and it sounds like maybe they're not.
No, well, they're not together.
They're not
together. But it's not even about, making up a story or anything like that. I had a great night. I'm sorry, did I just...
Yeah, you did. You said the F word. Yeah, you sure did. So you're just calling to brag, basically.
Yes, I'm calling to brag. I had a great night. And just the fact is, I'm so astounded just because I'm 18 and they're both 19-year-olds. And
nice.
They made it even better for me.
Yeah, but see, here's the problem, Diego. It's all downhill from here.
Yeah, you just peaked, my friend.
That's it. That's the best you're ever going to do.
I probably is. It probably is. I wouldn't doubt it because I just had a great night last night.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, you win. Okay. You win last night.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah, well, thank you, everybody. I just did call to brag. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
No worries.
Good times.
He had a pretty good experience then.
Did he have a good time last night? I think
that was the gist of what we were supposed to take away from that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's no sense trying to top that story.
That's correct. So let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
This morning, we are going to talk about sports with Matt Bunny Smith.
Yeah.
One of our friends who's a sportscaster talking about the Super Bowl.
Communism.
We're going to tell you about a guy who, for some reason, injected his penis with silicone.
And not just a little bit.
Not just a little bit, and not just one time. And it is unbelievable.
You know, when you hear the cell, you go, well, that's a guy, clearly, who was just trying to make it a little bit bigger. No. He didn't do this because he wanted to be able to have sex with a bigger penis. And I want to apologize to Menifee, California, if you're listening right now, for me using that descriptive term. But he made it so big that it can't be used.
Yeah.
No.
What's the point of that?
Unusable. So we'll talk about that today. There's a new Mexican law that bans any singers from singing songs about drug lords because they're tired of the drug lords getting praised in songs and getting popular. Based on those songs. So they're going to put people in jail.
Really?
If they
for
singing songs about the drug lords. Yeah.
That's weird.
Highlights of Conan's last show.
Okay.
Ever.
Great show. Did you watch it, Kevin?
Great ratings. I know that.
I didn't.
Yeah. Really?
Everybody.
Really good show. Great, phenomenal, very funny ending to it. He had a couple of heartfelt moments where he, I'm really impressed with Conan O'Brien. If you missed it, you're going to enjoy very much here in the recap.
I hope he put together some kind of a teary best of We Had a Great Time.
Little recap.
Yeah.
Well, he's kind of been doing that the whole last week. He's been doing clips of moments with. And he jammed a lot into that 7 months. I'll tell you that. He did a lot of funny stuff.
Are his moments with like our moments with?
No.
No.
Yeah. No. His are things that he can be proud of.
Oh, I see. Also on today's show, we got to talk about Miss Cleo. She is a cupcake junkie. And the way we discovered it is comical. So we're going to have to tell you about that.
We have
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Okay.
Talking about all the celebrities, and we're going to bring out the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices.
Oh, it's been a while.
And we're going to add to it the strip club goat. So.
Excellent.
So we got that coming up this morning as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. Wow, that's nothing but bad news in that sentence for you. We've got Kings of Leon coming up, also Smashing Pumpkins, Rise Against, and more. But Ralph Garman is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good.
Hey, great.
What's happening?
What's up? You're listening to FM radio. All right, now.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I would like to give away a pair of passes to the premiere of The Ultimate Wave Tahiti. Because you know how much I love the surfing.
Well, you're all about it.
You can't get me off a board. If I'm not on my board, I'm waxing my board.
It's true. You wax your board a lot.
I am hanging 10, 11 sometimes, 12. As much as I can hang, I hang it.
Yep.
And IMAX has a new 3D IMAX film featuring Kelly Slater, who I taught everything he knows, by the way, at the California Science Center IMAX Theater. It's happening on Monday, February the 8th in downtown Los Angeles. If you're a surf fan and you'd love to see this new movie, which apparently is, all kidding aside, just breathtaking in terms of its 3D and IMAX, call number 5. Caller number 5 right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. If you're caller number 5, you'll win a pair of passes to The Ultimate Wave Tahiti.
Since you taught him, are you happy with the way Kelly Slater's career is going?
I think he's doing an excellent job.
Okay,
and
good.
He's really supporting surf people who are good everywhere.
Right.
Yes. I've always said that.
I've never heard you, but all right.
I should say it quicker, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of sports, before we get to showbiz news, I feel bad now for the Minnesota Viking fans. Not just because they were so, close to going to the Super Bowl, but, which is hard enough. I mean, I've been on the losing end of enough NFC championship games to recognize how painful that can be. But now, those fans and that organization are going to be held hostage by that BS Brett Favre prima donna.
Yeah.
Am I going to quit? Am I going to keep going? Behavior for the next 6 months now. Because you know he's going to jerk him around, and he won't say whether he's going to retire or not, and they're going to have to wait for him to do his prima donna act all over again. This will lead them right up till the, you know, the mini camp start. They're going to be dealing with this stuff. It's going to be hell for them.
Yeah, I think
it's going to be
too.
Hell.
What do you do? You
think most of them will want him back?
I think they're going to want him to make a decision sooner than later, and that's not what they're going to have. The whole season is going to be put on hold for this.
But
guy.
If they don't know that going in, then that's on them.
No, they
I mean,
do,
you
but look,
see what you get.
That's the price you pay to dance with the devil. You know, they wanted to put all their eggs in one basket for this one shot, this one year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if they had gotten to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl, it would all been worthwhile. But now they came up short. Now what do? You got DeVaris Jackson backing him up, who is an untested commodity, who hasn't played all that well. And you got Brett Favre, who got knocked down almost 20 times yesterday.
And he's 100 years old.
I mean, and he's not going to tell you whether he's going to play or not until you get into the preseason.
And he might lie and say he's going to and then change his mind as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Guys, I kept thinking over the weekend when I saw Mike's boyfriend, Mark Sanchez, have a very weak second half. I kept thinking, what if Brett Favre had stayed with the Jets? I wonder if that would have been enough and they'd be in the Super Bowl right now.
I don't know. He didn't play well with them.
No, he did not.
No, but he had a bad season. That season had a great season this season.
And I don't think it would have worked out as well because part of what made the Jets, especially late in the season, was their running game. And I don't think their running game would have developed the way it did if they had Brett Favre.
He wouldn't tolerate it. He barely tolerated it with Minnesota.
Yeah.
He was fighting with Childress to throw the ball more, you know? He's the gunslinger. So I just feel bad because it's like... It's almost like a T.O. situation, which I went through with my Eagles, is you got one player that your franchise sort of hinges on, and it's all about his emotional whims, kind of takes you up and down throughout the rest of the offseason.
It's not how you want to do it.
It's going to be hard enough. So my heart goes out to you, Viking fans. All right, let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Avatar, still number one.
No way.
Is it?
It's been out for a year and a half now, and it's still number one at the box office.
These days, it's rare for a movie to stay number one 2 weeks in a row, right, Ralph?
Yeah, absolutely.
Very rare. Rarely happens anymore.
And how long has this been?
6 weeks in a row.
Six
been
weeks.
Number one. Yeah.
Wow.
It is, right now, the second highest grossing film of all time. It just rolled past The Dark Knight over the weekend. So it's Titanic 1 and now Avatar 2.
I think James Cameron cares if it passes Titanic since that's also his?
No.
Probably not.
It's all him.
Yeah.
$36 million made this weekend.
Wow!
$36 million.
In its sixth week.
Who's left to go see it?
Wow. Well, I haven't seen it yet.
I still play it.
Yeah.
Bean and Mike haven't seen it yet.
I don't know,
what they're holding off on, just for those two.
I wouldn't mind seeing it again.
Yeah,
you know,
me
maybe
too.
There's some of that, too.
I don't know about that.
I don't know if it was a little lengthy for me.
Yeah. A little lengthy.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know if he was joking or not, by the way, but somebody asked James Cameron, what happens if Avatar beats Titanic, all-time worldwide box office? He says, I'll just re-release Titanic in 3D.
That would be cool,
would
by
be.
The way.
Legion was number two this weekend, and its debut made a little over $18 million in the Book of Eli. The Tooth Fairy. Mother effing Tooth Fairy.
Now, if you can't
you're
handle
click,
the tooth.
If I recall.
You can't handle the tooth.
You can't handle the tooth.
God damn it. Was fourth at the box office with $14.5 million in The Lovely Bones. Sherlock Holmes. Extraordinary Measures. Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel, It's Complicated, and The Spy Next Door, rounding out the top 10 at the box office.
Wow, how about Harrison Ford coming in at what? What'd you say, fifth?
Seven.
For the weekend?
Seventh
for the weekend?
Made
dude.
$7 million, Extraordinary Measures.
Like he knows.
Listen, nobody wants to see Harrison Ford with a test tube in his hand. It's just not why you go to a Harrison Ford movie.
Yeah.
You don't want to see him talking about medical ethics with Brendan Fraser. It's just not what you're looking for.
But I don't want to see him in the action role anymore either, because he's just... He's
65
he's
years
dead.
Old.
He's look, literally dead already.
But he's still...
Dead man walking.
I think he's still, as an action star, the physical stuff, I think he still pulls it off. I think he's still believable.
Yeah.
He's like Harrison, he's like Sean Connery. He's one of those guys who was throwing punches in movies well into his 70s, and you still thought the guy could pull it off.
Yeah.
So. You know who can pull it off, too? Andy Dick.
Can pull what off?
He can pull it off if he gets a good handful of it. Apparently he was arrested early Saturday morning around 4 a.m. for grabbing a security guard's crotch.
That doesn't sound... Oh, wait, yes it does.
At a bar called Rum Runners in Huntington, West Virginia.
Listen, they don't cotton to the bisexuals down there in West Virginia, first of all.
Not big fans of that?
Don't compound it by grabbing dudes' crotches at the bar. He was charged with 2 counts of sexual abuse. One for the crotch-grabbing incident and one for allegedly grabbing and kissing a dude at the bar earlier in the evening.
My crotch really, really loves it.
Yeah.
Is our Andy drinking again?
Andy's doing a great many things. I don't think you should just limit
sobriety's
it to
one of them.
Alcohol. He was in town because he was performing at the Funny Bone Comedy Club.
Wow.
Can you believe there's actually a Funny Bone? I always thought that was just a punchline. People said, hey, check me out at the Funny Bone this weekend.
The Funny Bone.
Yeah.
He was playing the Funny Bone.
He was actually playing the Funny Bone. He was scheduled to appear there Saturday night. And they
sounds like he took it literally.
They
hey now!
Speaking of appearing at the Funny Bone, this Saturday, if you want to check it out, I will be with Adam Carolla.
Doing some of your patented stand-up?
Doing some of my patented hilarious comedy. Adam's doing his podcast live on Saturday at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose. So if you're in Southern California, check us out at the Improv. Two shows, 7:30 and 9:30. I will be performing with Adam on both of those shows. And it's me and Dr. Drew's going to stop by. Funny man David Koechner from Anchorman and a bunch
of
other movies.
I'm
going to be there having a good time. Yes.
Does he let you speak?
He does.
He does.
He encourages me to speak, actually.
How about that?
I know. It's a very different Adam. Different Adam on the road.
Right.
Yeah. But usually I'm just laughing at his stuff, you know.
Right.
But he does. He encourages me to speak.
All right.
Yeah.
And then he talks over you?
No. Actually, okay. He was pretty good.
All right.
We had a good time last time. So go to improv.com, by the way, if you want to buy tickets for that. Once again, this Saturday, the 30th. Matthew McConaughey is somebody's hero.
Save someone's life?
No. According to In Touch magazine, he pulled over on the freeway when he saw a stray dog in the road, coaxed it over, read his collar, and then personally returned the dog to its rightful owner. How about that?
He's the best.
Matthew McConaughey doing that. Good for you, Matthew.
That's nice.
I like that BS George Clooney. Doing nothing but raising $57 million for Haitian
relief.
Yeah, the totals are in.
Wow.
Friday night celebrity Hope for Haiti Now telethon, which was organized by George Clooney, pulled in $57 million worth of relief cash.
Good show.
Wow. It was good.
It does not, by the way, include any corporate or private donations. This is just the phone calls. It's $57 million.
Really?
So they pulled in more when you take in the.
I went to the website.
Corporate, the large private donations.
Is that the same? The website is calling.
If you did it during the telethon, then yes, this does count. Yes.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
But it doesn't count the donations through iTunes, which kicked off on Saturday, where you could download the music from that performance,
right?
Which are going for 99 cents a pop. All those proceeds as well. So by the time it's all said and done, it could be much, much more than $57.
That's great.
Plus, CNN reran the special last night too, with the phone line still open. So
that's great.
It was a great show too.
It was really good.
So where was she restrained in a Hollywood production?
Everybody seemed a little sullen to me.
Yeah, it wasn't very funny.
Hello, you're on TV. Pick it up a little bit, people. How about entertaining me?
Kept waiting for the funny.
Not so much funny.
Yeah. It's Haiti. Here now. Here's Alicia Keys. Hello, is this thing on?
No announcer. No audience.
Wow.
Boring. and you would have cut those Haitians who got up and spoke and put some more stars on, right, Ralph?
Yes. We don't care about you. We care about Brangelina. Where were they? Today's celebrity birthday. Speaking of Alicia Keys, she is 29 years old today.
Love
her. She was loud.
She looked good.
She was loud.
Didn't you think that was a good song?
She had a very loud performance. Congratulations. You were screaming all over my television.
You think that's what you went for, loud?
I think that must have been what she was shooting for, because that's what she got. A lot of all over loudness. That's what I got from her. Actress Mia Kirshner is 35 years old today. Actress Anna Ortiz from Ugly Betty is 39. And blues singer Etta James is 72. How's that for a birthday list?
Etta James.
At last, my love has come along.
Still alive?
Still alive. Hmm. Still singing that song.
Would have been 72? Had she lived?
She was the woman who was threatening Beyonce.
Yeah.
Because Beyonce sang that song at the inauguration for the Obamas.
That's right.
When they were dancing. And she was like, that's my song. Singing my song.
She was talking about
She
was talking about beating her up, wasn't she?
She was. She was going to kick her ass.
All right.
72.
I'm in.
And Kevin, if you remember at the time, the funny part was that it was a cover when she did it. It wasn't even her song.
That
like she remembers
the
that.
Funny part. That was.
Like it. She remembers that. Probably thought she wrote it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Guys, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com coming up with an update on all the celebrities over the weekend here. Also, what's up with Miss Cleo and her cupcake addiction and highlights from the final Conan O'Brien Tonight Show. All ahead in the next few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
First, it's time for the Wheel of Bed Animal Voices.
Raining on our parade again,
you don't
Ralph.
First thing on a Monday morning. It's bad enough people have to get up and go to work or school, whatever they're doing. Then you're going to just kick them in the nads doing the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices?
I want them to get off on the right foot.
This will make people kill themselves.
It's a perfect start to the week.
This will be suicide.
No.
It's horrible. It's the same bit over and over again.
It's always funny.
BS story from the news.
It's not BS. It's a real story.
And it involves some animal, and then you talk to the animal, and the animal has hilarious things to say. Never, ever is it entertaining or interesting.
Look, I know you've had your problems with the bit in the past, Ralph, but wait till you hear the stories that are on the wheel that we potentially could land on. Listen to this. Kevin, tell them what's coming up.
All right. We have the Argentinian mega colony ants.
Oh, that's great. Funny.
We have Percy the albino squirrel.
Woo!
We have the Japanese attack bear.
Ah, I see I'm wrong.
We have an elephant that throws rocks.
Wow! Really?
We have the pimpin' chimps.
Did we already do that?
I think we did the pimpin' chimps.
Let's take that off.
We have the giant Japanese jellyfish.
Hey.
We have the Russian dog girl. We have the renegade kangaroo.
That's not even an animal, by the way, the Russian dog girl. It's a poor girl who was raised by dogs, who licks herself and scratches her ear.
We have the strip club goat.
Strip club goat.
And we have the acid-spitting Mongolian death worm.
So how did you not want to talk to a death worm, Ralph? Come on.
All of those stories deserve our attention. We don't have time for all of them.
They all do deserve our attention.
So we spin the wheel, and then we pick one.
So you're going to spin the wheel?
Yes.
And the fact that you teased the strip club goat earlier this morning has no effect on what happens with the wheel.
Total luck.
It has no effect on the outcome
100%
whatsoever. All right,
we'll
see.
Here we go.
Right.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Nifty little bed.
I like it.
I don't know. I might have voted against this if I remembered how bad the theme song was. All right. We have no way of knowing where the wheel will land, but go ahead and spin it, Kevin, and let's see which story we're going to be following up here today.
The strip club goat.
What are the chances? The wheel hasn't even stopped yet.
It did now, and it's on the strip club goat.
Oh, that's amazing.
What are the chances of that?
Coachella, California. If that place sounds familiar, that is the site of the Music and Arts Festival happening in April. Before a strip club there even opened, it had a horny goat banging down its doors. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, a 150-pound goat smashed through two large glass doors at the Lynx Gentleman Club over the weekend, causing about $2,000 worth of damage. What was going on in that goat's mind? Well, fortunately, with the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, we don't have to guess. We can actually talk to somebody. I hope it's the goat. That's what I'm hoping
for. Come on. Play along. This is how we do it.
Yeah.
We're calling the strip club owner.
Hello?
Hello? Is this the strip club owner?
Yeah, right. It's the strip club owner. No, wait a minute. I'm the goat.
You're
from
the
story.
I see.
Oh, what are the chances? That's amazing. And that you'd be at the strip club answering the phone 2 weeks after you smashed into the door, too. I love that.
I love strip clubs.
Apparently you stood there and you looked at your reflection in the door for a couple of hours. And then you just rammed it down. You just went right in.
I was waiting for it to open.
Oh, really?
And I was waiting and waiting, and I just couldn't wait any longer.
It was waiting for its liquor license to come through, and then once they got all the paperwork done, they were going to open the doors.
They had no champagne in the champagne room?
Right.
Wow.
That's disappointing for you?
All I wanted was a lap dance.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And don't forget, we're going to make an announcement a little bit later on this morning for K-Rock's World Tour 2010, destination number 2.
Ooh, nice. Tell me.
We're going to make it a little bit later.
And when?
Later. Okay. And I think you'll love it, though. I mean, this is a great one.
So awesome.
Stick around for that. It is the world-famous K-Rock at 24 minutes after 6.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, who got in trouble, who got arrested, who died? There's only one guy we go to for all that information. Here's our friend Harvey Levin, of course. He's the big boss, the cheese, El Jefe, over there at TMZ.com and TMZ Television. Hi, Harvey. How are you, man?
Oh, I can't believe you said that.
You liked
Who died, who got...
Well, I mean,
come on.
You cover it all, Harvey.
You cover all that stuff. I was a compliment. I was saying the giant umbrella that is entertainment news is covered by TMZ.com. That's not accurate?
What about the fun stuff.
Yeah. Listen, Bean loves it when humans die. So that's not true.
But I will tell you, and it was never more true than when Harvey led the world on Michael Jackson coverage,
yeah,
that I almost don't believe somebody's dead until I see it on TMZ anymore. Because, you know, every day there's another story out there that's this weekend was all about Johnny Depp dying in a car crash rumors. But it's not on TMZ, so it's not true. Right, Harvey?
Yeah, we have like TMZobit.com you can go to now.
Really?
It's a whole new venture. No.
Because Bean would be all over that.
All right. Where do you want to start today, Harvey? What do you love that's going on?
Well, a couple of things. I'm really interested in this Jay Leno story. And not even so much with Conan, but with David Letterman. It is so vicious. And I haven't seen anything like this before because it's not even funny anymore. These two clearly just hate each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting. We got Jay Leno last night, and he kind of, you know, he said, oh, that's who Dave is. He's always been that way. But when you really listen to it, it's like, it feels like this thing is going to escalate. So now that Conan's out of the picture, it's almost like Conan was a third wheel in this.
Yeah.
But they are at war. And I just find that really interesting.
Now, does this go back to David Letterman so desperately wanting to succeed Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show, not getting the job, and Jay Leno did, and he's held a grudge ever since?
It feels like it, and it sounds like they kind of had it under wraps, and Letterman really never had an excuse to talk about it before,
right?
But clearly does now, and now that he kind of senses that Jay's vulnerable, I mean, he just took off the gloves, and Jay went right back at him. I mean, I've not seen anything like this before.
He did. He was talking about how he's known Jay Leno for 35 years, and this is finally us seeing the real Jay Leno.
Didn't you? I mean, wasn't that interesting when you said that?
It was way interesting, and it was way brutal, and I believed him.
And
I did.
But other people are kind of saying the same thing.
I believed him.
You know, I mean, I look, Jay Leno, it's hard to believe, and you know, who knows, but they are painting him like Osama bin Laden, or at least David Letterman is.
Sure.
You know, he just stealing, thievery, all this stuff. It just feels too personal. It's almost like, do you really believe that he's that vicious? I don't know. I just have a hard time swallowing.
No, you're absolutely right. And it is, we've definitely seen the animosity ratchet up, especially last week when Jay started taking really personal shots about Dave and his marriage and the problem he had with his affair and everything. That stuff was always kind of off limits before out of professional courtesy. But you're right. The gloves are absolutely off. What'd you think of Conan's last show, Harvey? I thought it was so great.
Yeah, I thought it was good, too. And it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't what everybody thought, which is probably better, because everybody thought it was just going to be this vitriolic, you know, hour. But it wasn't, you know, and I think he went out probably the way he should. The interesting thing now is going to be whether he goes to Fox.
Right.
What I'm being told is that Fox has told the stations, give us, you know, financials on what it would cost you guys if we brought Conan in, because it will cost the stations money. The stations aren't happy with it because they're making a lot of money right now off of these sitcoms, and they will make less if Conan comes in, but the network could basically shove it down their throats if they want to, at least for the stations that are owned by Fox.
So each of the cities, they have their own general managers or whatever, and they can say no thank you?
Well, the owned and operated stations can't. The owned and operated stations, the, you know, Fox can say, we want you to put them on.
Right.
The other ones, they could. So what I'm told is they're going to, you know, they can leverage a whole bunch of stuff and say, well, look, you know, we'll give you this, we'll give you Idol, we'll give you that, and we'll kind of throw it into the deal.
Right.
So there's a way of sweetening the pot, and I have a feeling that's what they may end up doing. But it's not as simple as everybody thinks, and there definitely isn't an offer yet.
Do they want him?
The network wants that kind of franchise. I mean, they've tried it before, and it was a mess with Magic Johnson.
Right.
It kind of worked with Arsenio, but then fizzled, and they tried it with Joan Rivers, remember?
Yeah.
And that didn't work.
She's our favorite.
I got to tell you guys, she is hilarious. I mean, we got her.
You're nuts.
What?
Oh, guys, look, I got to tell you something. Wait, we got her on the street and just... okay, you know what?
Harvey, you know we love you, but there's no possible way you're right on this one.
We've seen a lot of Joan Rivers, and she's rarely hilarious.
You know what? Okay, we think she's hilarious.
All right,
you guys are going to beat me up, so I'm just going
to
stop.
All right, we'll agree to disagree, so we can move on to the really important stuff, which is Jersey Shore.
I was just going to ask you. So, what do you think of them?
I don't watch the show. I think, I mean, I wouldn't want to spend 1 minute with any of the cast members that I've seen interviewed or read about on this program, but clearly it's a huge hit, and that's what you do in television if you've got a huge hit, is you ask for a raise, because believe me, MTV is making a ton of money off Jersey Shore, and they do deserve their share if they're the reason people are tuning in.
So the finale got 4.8 million viewers, which is huge for MTV.
Huge, right?
Huge. And so they offered this cast a $10,000 signing bonus and $5,000 an episode for season two.
Right.
So they all said, we're going to do this like Friends. No. And you have to offer all of us the same thing, and it's going to be all or nothing. So MTV came back, and they said $10,000 an episode. And the cast hasn't responded. In the meantime, MTV has gotten thousands of tapes of Guidos and Guidettes. And they are, and they have found the replacements, I'm told. So
is that right?
They have at least told them that today's the day. Either say yes, or we're going to replace you. And what's interesting is they told the cast, if some of you say yes, we'll bring you back, and if some of you say no, we won't. So they're trying to kind of divide and conquer, and it'll be interesting to see what they do. But when you look at what LC on the Hills was making like $125,000 an episode.
That is so disgusting. Right.
Wow. But that's what Snooki will make with this new deal, though. If it's $10,000 an episode, 12 episodes plus signing bonus, she's going to be making $120,000 a year. Snooki!
Guys, that was an episode, I think, that the Hills was making.
The numbers we're talking about are for the whole season. Okay.
This is for the whole season. This was an episode. I mean, Heidi Montag makes $100,000.
An episode.
That
needs to change
so
then.
Exactly.
Let's cut them down and give some of the money to the Jersey
Shore. That's what I think.
All right.
Fascinating. All right. Well, we will definitely be watching to see how that one plays out. That is it's amazing that anyone named The Situation has anything, any kind of credence in show business, isn't it?
And he's like, I'm telling you, he is so popular. When we have our cameras out, people are going nuts just because it's different. You know?
Yeah, I can see that.
Exactly. All right.
My problem with them is that now they're coming to L.A. and they're going to sushi restaurants.
Oh, is that happening?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They need to stick with pizza in New Jersey.
Yeah.
That's where they're funny.
Yeah, I hear you.
TMZ.com does a great job. And, of course, check your local listings for TMZ television as well. Harvey, we love you, man. Great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. As always, have a great week.
See you guys.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, let me ask the room, what name comes to mind when I say the word fail to you?
Miss Cleo!
What? Clock with a clock, and it goes and with a clock, and it's and clock, similar to clock with a clock.
I'm amazed that Miss Cleo is able to dress herself and drive into work every day with as much as she fails.
She is fail. You looked that up in the dictionary. There she is.
And sometimes the driving has been a problem,
now,
you'll recall.
Miss Cleo is on the Psycho Mike death. What do we call it?
Diet of death.
Diet of death, which means don't eat anything. And
ever.
And
except grass. And
never
protein.
Enjoy yourself. Yes, you can graze.
You can graze.
On
yeah.
grass, but that's
We're
it.
We're basically like horses.
So basically every day Miss Cleo comes in and Lisa comes in and Alex comes in. They go, oh, yeah, what should I do with the diet that I'm dead? Can I eat this? Can I eat that? And Mike's like, no!
That's pretty much it.
And I think that's what drove Miss Cleo to the cupcake junkie situation.
Before we get into the specifics of this latest incident that apparently involves cheating, folks need to know what it's like for poor Kevin and poor me, by the way, who 18 hours of every single day listen to them talk about weighing food and separating eggs and drinking powder. It's a nonstop 100% of the time conversation in the office about what they can and can't eat. It's crazy.
Now, Miss Cleo has been looking great.
Yeah, she looks awesome.
Really good. And that's why this next case that we're going to bring to the Kevin and Bean Court is so funny. Psycho Mike, tell us what you saw.
So over the break, Miss Cleo and I are hanging out in the office getting some work done. And she's about to leave. And she says, hey, before I leave, I just want to say I've been having a little trouble with my diet lately. And I was wondering, you know, what I should do here. And I was like,
don't eat.
You could do better here. You could do better there. We're just talking the details. She said, I think it'd be better if I waited until after the holidays because there's so many holiday parties and there's so much temptation with sweets and whatnot. And I'm like, all right, you know, no sweat. Do what you want to do, Cleo. I mean, you know, whatever feels comfortable to you. I'm going to say 5 minutes later, 6 minutes later.
Yeah.
I'm walking out of the building here
and I see Miss Cleo parked parallel to the entrance of the radio station, all kind of by herself in her car, shoving a cupcake in her mouth, like huddled over it, though, like this.
Like hiding? Was she hiding?
No, well,
like being in an alley with a crack pipe?
I don't think she was hiding because she parked her car, I mean, right in front of the entrance to the station.
So to do that, she had to get in her car and back it up.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, so she's already moving.
No, like, that is. This
no.
isn't this isn't open for debate.
Well,
Hold on.
We'll give you a chance.
And I walk up and I'm walking around her and I just see her eating this and she goes, "I just don't care." And I'm like, look. You guys like to make fun, but I'm not really that guy. I mean, her diet. I don't care what you eat. Eat whatever the hell you want. I'll help you when you want help. But I just looked at her. I was like, okay, no problemo. Eat whatever you want. And I'm walking away laughing at her. And before she pulls away, I look down on the ground, and there's cupcake wrappers all over the ground.
You threw them out? You littered right in the parking lot?
Yeah, and I go, and I point at it. And before I can even say anything, she goes, "I never do that. I never do that. I don't know why. It was a one-time thing.
I never do that."
Okay, you want the real story now?
Yeah, she snapped.
Sure.
I'll sell myself out. I was sitting in my car eating the cupcake.
Had you backed your car up?
I didn't back up. I got into my car, and I was parked in the first spot.
Right.
So I got in my car, sat down, turned my car on, and ate the cupcake before I left. The car wasn't moved. I moved the car, and then you found the cupcake wrapper. So I might have littered in my fury to get to my cupcake.
Are you a cupcake junkie?
Yeah, exactly.
Were you hiding in your car? Why didn't you eat it in the station?
Someone handed it to me as I was walking out. I was
cupcake pusher.
We have a cupcake pusher in the parking lot that won't let you get in your car.
Was the first one free?
What the hell?
My guy handed it to me.
There's nobody, especially over the Christmas break, in the parking lot handing out cupcakes.
It wasn't in the parking lot.
Exactly.
It was in the building. Someone had their girlfriend had made a bunch of cupcakes, and as I was walking out, he had like three left, and he said, "Hey, do you want an extra cupcake?"
And you said, "Yes, and I'll eat it right here."
As I'm walking, no. So I went to my car, sat down. I don't think that's a problem at all.
You were hiding?
And I don't think I was hiding.
Was she
and
hiding?
I don't think I have a problem.
Whether or not she was hiding in subconsciously, she had to have been. Because, like you said, why wouldn't you eat it in the comfort of a building? Especially, it was cold outside. It was over Christmas
Where
break.
Am I going to eat? Where? I was literally walking
in
down
the
hall.
I don't know. Like, all of us eat in this building every single day. Just in the lobby, in the studio, wherever you are. You're just inside. If you're in the building and someone hands you a cupcake, most of us would eat instead of, like, run to your car and chomp down on it. And by the way, that's besides the point. It's just
she probably locked the doors,
you're so angry at the earth that you, like, you couldn't even think to hold on. You just tore the wrappers off that cupcake and threw them away like a Viking. Like an animal. Everything in your way, you rape and pillage.
My name is Miss Cleo, and I have a sugar problem.
Really? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't think she consciously said, "I better go hide from Mike so I can eat this."
I do think
but
that's
the way
happened.
She was eating it, and I'm going to be open here, reminded me exactly of how I used to run to my car and drink and use drugs. Because she was just all by herself, no radio on or anything, just like hunched over the cupcake, shoving it in her mouth.
Okay, I will say this. Sometimes I have hidden food from my people.
Of course.
Because he does this great thing. Like, I don't pay him any money. I would have to pay somebody who gave me the same advice that Mike does.
If we don't, like,
thousands of dollars
in his face when we screw up.
But in that instance, I was just walking to my car.
Cleo, you were in the building when they handed it to you.
On my way out.
Cleo, you got to start going to meetings, baby. You just you need help. It's bigger than you.
You're a cupcake junkie. You need to deal with it. This is your intervention.
This is my intervention.
It's your wake-up call.
Well, thank you.
We don't want you in an alley shoving cupcakes.
Whatever, I don't have a problem.
And, wait, you're throwing the wrapper out. Now, here's my question. People who litter like that, just blatantly in the parking lot, just open the door and tossed it.
She's high on sugar, man.
No.
She doesn't know what she's doing.
Is that really, does she never do that?
No, exactly.
Right?
That's my thing.
Oh, that was the one time in my life I threw. No.
It's like the disease-written whore who, after you have a one-night stand with her, she's like, "I never do this."
Yes, exactly.
It's only, hates the earth.
I date for months before I sleep with a man, usually.
No wonder you won't even look Dr. Drew in the eyes when he comes in on our show.
That's true. 106.7, K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 5 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I
got to see the Pee Wee Herman show this weekend.
Oh, right. You went Friday, right?
Yeah, I want to give people a heads up. It's currently playing at Club Nokia at LA Live here in Southern California. That's my first time, by the way, to Club Nokia.
Nice.
I've never been there. What an amazing venue.
Yep.
What a great place to see something.
Yep.
Boy, they put on a good production there. But it's the Pee Wee Herman show. It's the return of Pee Wee Herman back on stage after, like, I want to say 25 years.
Did he do this on stage originally, or was it a TV show?
Originally, that's how the character was created.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Paul Reubens did the character at the Groundlings, of course, the famous sketch and improv theater here in Los Angeles.
Right.
Did the show there in the early 80s, and then moved it to the Roxy on Sunset because it became such a big hit. It became a standalone show that they did for a couple of years, and then he started performing on Letterman and late night TV, and then the movie. Of course, he got the movie deal with Tim Burton. They did Pee Wee's Big Adventure. And then he went on to the TV series after that. Hmm. So it was that way the original character was presented on stage, and they returned to that format. And I got to tell you, it was freaking hilarious.
Really?
And he hasn't lost a step in 25 years. He looks the same. He sounds the same. It was remarkable. It's like going into a time machine.
Wow. And he's 57, which
he's
I had no idea.
57 years old.
Is it like going into a hot tub time machine?
It's like going into a hot tub time machine. It is. But if you get a chance to see it here in Southern California, I highly recommend it because it is just hilarious. I mean, he is so funny.
Kat went. She was raving about it, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's outstanding. And I think I got a chance to talk to him backstage a little bit, and he said that he is planning on taking it to New York.
Really? For Broadway?
Oh, that's great.
So if you're in the East Coast, sometime later this year, you may be able to see it as well. Just wanted to give you a heads up.
I know you are, but what am I?
Oh, I love him. Good stuff. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Avatar, still number one in its sixth week. $36 million it made.
No!
In week six.
$36 million?
Yes.
Crazy. Crazy numbers.
Ridiculous.
That's what most movies never make that much in their
full
run. They
wish they could open. Yeah. You open $36 million. Yeah. For example, Legion. Which looks awesome.
It is.
Which I thought would do big numbers this weekend.
I saw it. It is awesome.
Made $18.2 million in its opening weekend.
That's
just $18.2 million.
That old woman in the
she's
diner.
Bad news.
Your baby's going to burn.
She's bad news.
And then she crawls up on the ceiling. Dude.
Yeah. You don't like old people as it is.
No.
And yeah, you're really freaked
her
out.
Her eyes are like turning red and she's got little sharp
teeth. It would be awesome if Kevin hates old people so much. It would be awesome if some possessed old lady just took him out. That would be the perfect way for Kevin to go out.
It would, actually, yeah.
Driving around the Long's drugstore parking lot and some woman just crawls on your car and just takes you out.
She was freaky.
Yeah, she's bad news. Well, how about Doug Jones, the ice cream man?
Talk
about freaky.
That was pretty freaky, too.
He's freaky.
Yeah.
Freaky.
You don't want the ice cream man to open his mouth.
No, you do not.
Bigger, like 4 feet wide.
That jaw dropping takes on a whole new meaning when you see him.
Oh, man.
Book of Eli was number three at the box office with $17 million. Then the Tooth Fairy.
You can't handle the tooth.
Can't handle the tooth.
You know that.
Was fourth. Lovely Bones was fifth. Sherlock Holmes, Extraordinary Measures, Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakle, It's Complicated, and The Spy Next Door rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Hope for Haiti. The Telethon made $57 million on Friday night. That doesn't include any corporate donations, large private donations, any of the proceeds from the iTunes, since they're selling that stuff. By the way, they sent a one-day record for iTunes for most downloads.
Oh, is that right?
That's great.
Hey, Saturday after that.
I bought it. There was some great music on that show, and how shocking was it to see Justin Timberlake at the piano singing a tender version of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah song. Who knew the NSYNC kid had that in him?
Yeah, that was really good.
He is remarkably talented given his...
Remarkably so.
His pedigree where he came from, the whole boy band phenomenon. Yeah, they just got lucky. They just happened to cast one of those guys in a boy band who actually had some musical talent.
A lot,
It rarely happens.
And I think it's proven how lucky they were and that the other four guys in NSYNC have gone on to do exactly nothing since that band broke up.
So much going on this weekend. I did not get a chance to check out the SAG Awards, which was one of my favorite award shows of the year.
Who knew that was on?
I think they did a poor job in promoting it this year because I did not know it was on until after the fact.
I watched it.
Of course. But you're our awards guy, so. Did you bring in clips?
Awards guy?
No.
You didn't think of us to put some clips for the show?
No, that's not much of a clip show compared to some of the others. They don't go out of their way to be entertaining on that program. But it was fine.
Jeff Bridges and Sandra Bullock picking up a head of steam towards the Oscars. Both won additional awards for their roles in Crazy Heart and The Blind Side. Of course, they won the Golden Globes as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For those same roles. Best cast in a comedy. The Glee over on Fox won for Best Ensemble Comedy. Best Ensemble Drama, Mad Men. Alec Baldwin and Tina Fey picked up awards for actor and actress for comedy and their roles in 30 Rock. Juliana Margulies and Michael C. Hall repeated their award-winning
excellent
from the Golden Globes by picking up Best Drama Actress and Best Drama Actor. So congratulations to all those guys. Today's celebrity birthdays. Alicia Keys is 29 years old today. She was on the telethon this weekend. Mm-hmm. She was all over the place. She was loud, and she was loud.
Okay, loud, loud. Yeah,
she was loud. Mia Kirshner is 35 years old today. Very talented actress. What do you know her best from? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I don't recognize the name at all.
I don't know her at all.
Damn.
I was paralyzed by the bell because I don't know whether she deserves one.
Yeah,
or not.
She does deserve one.
Maybe
I'm
she
trying
is.
To think. Damn it. I'll be back in an hour
all right.
with her complete biography.
We don't need that.
Anna Ortiz is Ugly Betty. No, that isn't Ugly Betty. That's someone else. But she's on Ugly Betty.
Okay.
Yeah. She's 39 years old. And Etta James, the legendary blues singer, is 72. Not a big weekend.
No.
Day, rather, for celebrity birthdays. But I do what I can. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And it's a hold. It's against the Saints. It's a first down. Randall Gay was banging.
Wait, what?
I didn't see that.
What?
Randall Gay starts banging on Percy Harvin.
Right. All right, that's what I thought you said. Interesting. It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show highlights of the final Conan O'Brien Tonight Show. Wow, who can even remember what we were doing when that show went on the air? But here it is, already at a close. And he had an all-star band performance at the end, which is unlike anything you've ever seen or heard before on network television. So we got highlights and we'll discuss coming up in just a few minutes. First, though, Kevin, you've got some news for us from south of the border.
Well, Mexico is having a real, real problem with drug lords.
Oh, yeah.
Drug trafficking. And they're killing, you know, federal forces, and they're cutting people's heads off. It's a big deal down there.
The murder rate is skyrocketing.
Yeah, it's just crazy. So the National Action Party has proposed that movies and songs that are sung about drug lords that glorify them, the people will get put in jail that make them. They will put them in jail if you make a song glorifying a drug lord.
Does this happen all the time that people sing these songs?
I think there's a certain amount of groups that have made their name on writing these sappy, like, ballad type songs, yeah, about drug lords.
No kidding.
So now they're going to pass a law where they are going to put people in jail for doing that.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that crazy?
It's just going to go underground, right?
We are. We take the First Amendment for the right to free speech for granted in this country. It's not that way in a lot of the places. If the government doesn't like your message, they say, "Well, you're just not allowed to make that message anymore because it's counter to what we're trying to do." And apparently, that is the case down there in Mexico because they do these folk songs, you know, that turn these people into folk heroes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So we have a spokesman for the government, I believe. Hello, sir. Who's this?
Hey. Hey, Kevin and Bean.
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, it's Rudy.
Rudy. I thought we were talking to somebody from the Mexican government.
Nah,
about that.
Listen. I called up Dave, the King of Mexico, and Alex. I'm in jail, fool.
You're in jail?
Yeah. Thank God you took my call, fool. I'm in jail in Mexico. Like, serious. You need to help me out, fool.
First of all, I thought you were never going to go back to Mexico because you were afraid it was getting too hard to get back across the border. What happened?
I started my own band, you know, to express myself, because that's what my uncle, he told me, you need to express your artistic side, because you're getting older, you know, you don't want to waste your time, you know, doing nothing.
Right.
And so I started this band, and we started getting good and all, and so then we were on tour, and I was down here in Guadalajara, and we were rehearsing, you know, getting ready for a show.
Right.
And the federales just busted in, man. They threw me in jail. Me and my whole band, we're chilling out right now.
This isn't your one call, is it?
Yeah, that's all I got. But I don't know what to call, fool.
Bad idea.
Wow. Well, we can't help you. There's nothing we can do to get you out of jail. But what was the problem with your music? Were you doing what Kevin was talking about? Were you writing songs glorifying these drug lords?
I don't think so, man. I just write about what I know. You know what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
I was just writing about, life and, how, you know, in my life goes, you know, and I'm expressing myself.
Right.
And then, we're jamming and all. And like, you know, and my bass player, Little Tuna, he's all, hey, he's like, hey, here comes the Federales, fool. And then they just like clubbed our dome and then they threw us in the pen.
Wow.
And now we're like in here.
Do you know what was offensive to the government?
Like, what? I'm not all crazy smart like you guys, like, no, but I have my band here. Like, you want me to put the phone down? I'll play you some jams.
Yeah,
you can tell me,
well,
like.
Yeah, maybe.
Absolutely.
I don't know why they threw us in here with our instruments, but
it doesn't seem unlikely.
It doesn't seem reasonable.
Although, but even more unlikely to me is that Little Tuna is a boy. That confused me, too.
Oh, Little Tuna's bad, dog. He's bad. You should hear him play bass, fool. Listen, this is one of our songs. Like, I mean, I don't know what's going down. I don't know. I don't think it glorifies nothing. I mean, it's just like I said, it's about like my life and stuff. You know what
I'm
saying?
All right, let's hear it. All right. We'd love to hear it. All right, thank you, Rudy.
I love cocaine.
Well, you can't say that.
I love cocaine.
Rudy, that's...
I love cocaine so much, and my drug dealer, he is my savior.
No, no, Rudy. No.
I love yayo. Said I love yayo.
Yeah, that might...
Thank God my drug dealer, he's so amazing and sexy.
Hey, Rudy.
Rudy,
yeah.
Rudy, no.
What
no.
Do you think, huh?
That's exactly what the government is talking about, because you're putting the drug dealers in a positive light. That's what they're trying to avoid down there in Mexico with this new law.
Oh, dog.
Yeah, that glorifies drug trafficking. That is exactly what the law's about.
Well, I wasn't even playing that song. You want to hear the song I was playing?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm kind of confused, right? Like, you know, part of me for the, you know, these are in Spanish, so like I'm translating them for you on the fly, but
okay.
You know, you should get the meaning. Hit it, guys. I'm so poor and sad, ay. Thank God my drug dealer gives drugs to me. There's no jobs for me. Thank God I can sit home and smoke weed. I love my drug dealer.
Okay, here we go.
I love my drug dealer. Rafa Cante, ay. He's the best. Better than God, better than the government. The Traficantes are the best.
No.
What do you think?
Of course.
What do you think?
Well, of course they arrested you. That clearly is a violation of the new law. What are you thinking, Rudy? Try here. Come on.
And who knew you had a tuba in there?
Oh, you don't even want to know that tuba's going later.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, inviting you to go to kevinandbean.com right now for a bunch of cool things that we put up today, including details on the celebrity death pool that I'm starting. I am here to tell you that our little friend Gary Coleman is not going to survive 2010.
Oh.
That's what I'm here to tell you. Bad news for our friend Gary, who we just had on the program a couple of weeks ago.
But you're just guessing.
Yeah, I'm just guessing, but I would go to Vegas to put money on it. That's how sure I am.
All right.
With his latest arrest. Check out his unbelievable mugshot, too. Go to kevinandbean.com and look at that. So Conan's out of work. Conan does not have a job.
Yeah.
The Tonight Show came to a close on Friday, and we knew it was coming. It was ramping up for the past couple of weeks, and Harvey Levin made a great point last hour when we spoke with him, in that Conan has been bagging on NBC in the boneheaded way that they played this whole Jay Leno at 10, moving to 11:30, right, and bumping Conan. He really thought that Conan was going to have, you know, the knives out on Friday night and come out just blazing about NBC. It was the opposite of that. It couldn't have been a sweeter show. It couldn't have been – yes.
Didn't they agree on that amount of money and then – part of that was that he couldn't bag on NBC?
Right.
After he left. Right. No. After he left NBC.
No.
Both. While he was on the air anymore.
Yeah.
And afterwards, both, I think.
Well, that wasn't my understanding at all, but Conan put on a very, very classy show. We do have some highlights for folks like Kevin who were interested in it but didn't get around to watching it over the weekend. He came out with a couple of very funny jokes, including this one.
We've had a lot of fun being here these last 7 months, but like everything in life, the fun has to come to an end. A decade too early.
Which was really sad when you think about it, because I'm sure he thought when he moved his family and staff to California that he was going to be doing the Tonight Show for 10, 15, 20 years.
Of course.
Who knew, right?
Yeah.
But 7 months later. Well, part of the deal when you leave a job oftentimes is an exit interview where somebody from the company comes and you fill out a questionnaire. They can use that for the research and find out if there's any potential lawsuits down the road or anything like that. And the man that NBC sent in says Conan was Steve Carell from The Office.
All right.
Out to do the exit interview. Very funny stuff from Conan.
All right, let's begin. Would you describe your experience here at NBC as positive? Very positive? Or extremely positive?
Positive. We'll go with positive, if that's the three choices I have.
Positive. Did anything trigger your decision to leave?
See, because he didn't have a choice.
Right.
Right.
Yes, kind of. Yeah, yeah. Kind of. Before deciding to leave, did you consider transferring to another department within NBC? That had not crossed my mind. No, no, it had.
Right. Well, he sure could have stayed at 1205 and made NBC happy, but he did. He decided not to do that, so he's out. Here's the part that really surprised me when, after 3 weeks, basically, of bashing NBC every night, Conan had something to say that was a surprise to me and maybe to a lot of people about the working for the network.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we bring this rodeo to a close, I think a couple of things should be said. There's been a lot of speculation in the press about what I legally can and can't say about NBC. And this isn't a joke. To set the record straight, and this is true, tonight I'm allowed to say anything I want. Tonight I really am allowed to say whatever I want, and what I want to say is this. Between my time at Saturday Night Live, the late night show, and my brief run here on The Tonight Show, I've worked with NBC for over 20 years. Yes, we have our differences right now. Yes, we're going our separate ways. But this company has been my home for most of my adult life.
Wow.
I am enormously proud of the work we've done together, and I want to thank NBC for making it all possible. I really do.
How about that?
Wow. Wow. That's really classy.
Who would have thought? Class act, right?
Yeah. How do you not let that bitterness seep in?
Yeah. Maybe he's blaming Leno.
It's interesting that you should say that. And this is this was one of the more remarkable things I've ever seen Conan do on television. Look, there are a lot of great late night hosts. Jimmy Kimmel is certainly my favorite of the ones that are out there. Letterman does a great job. I like Craig Ferguson. Every once in a while, they are called upon to do something more than just be funny. And Jay Leno is incapable of giving an honest moment on The Tonight Show.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever seen him try to speak seriously. David Letterman, I think, is the master at that. I mean, David Letterman is a guy who can sit there and talk about something no matter how painful it is, whether it's his first show back after 9/11 or his first show back after all the information about his affair came out. I mean, he's a guy who can sit down and drop the funny and just talk to the viewer
and
make you feel like
you're...
And be fast and make you feel like they're giving you the real deal.
Right.
Well, I learned something about Conan, and you talk about how he can drop the bitterness. This is a fascinating clip where he talks about how the fans have inspired him, and the one quality that he hates more than any other. I thought this was great TV from Friday night.
I have something to say to our fans. This massive outpouring of support and passion from so many people has been overwhelming for me. The rallies, the signs, all this goofy, outrageous creativity on the internet. The fact that people have traveled long distances and camped out all night in the pouring rain. It's pouring. It's been pouring for days. And they're camping out to be in our audience. Really, here's what all of you have done. You made a sad situation joyous and inspirational. So to all the people watching, I can never, ever thank you enough for the kindness to me. I'll think about it for the rest of my life. And all I ask is one thing, and this is, I'm asking this particularly of young people that watch. Please do not be cynical. I hate cynicism. For the record, it's my least favorite quality. It doesn't lead anywhere. Nobody in life gets exactly what they thought they were going to get. But if you work really hard and you're kind, amazing things will happen. I'm telling you, amazing things will happen.
And while he was saying that, I was thinking about
crying?
The blogger. He was missing up
like
a little bit. Yeah.
Oh my God, you're such a girl.
He was choking up. I was thinking about all the angry, vitriolic bloggers who are going to be lambasting him for his cynicism comment by being cynical about it. But I thought it was a very, very touching moment.
Yeah.
Guests on the final show, by the way, were Tom Hanks, who came out and was very, very funny. His musical guest was Neil Young, who's one of Conan's all-time favorites, and he came out and sang Long May You Run. And then they closed out the show with an all-star performance band led by Conan's friend and the first guest on Conan's Tonight Show, Will Ferrell.
Conan, I just want to thank you for having me and my lady Dawn on tonight. And if you're wondering, yes, she is with child. I want you to strap on your axe and get over here. Let's lay this sucker down. What do you say?
Do it!
Yeah. Let's lay this sucker down.
So Conan jumps out of the seat, picks up his guitar, runs over to the stage. Will Ferrell is there with Max Weinberg and the E Street Band. Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top.
What?
Beck.
What?
Playing guitar on it. Ben Harper.
Just a whole bunch of people on stage. Will Ferrell's dressed up in psychedelic garb with his wife. They're making out on stage, and they bring the show to the close with Freebird.
If I leave here tomorrow.
Who's singing? That's Will Ferrell, ladies and gentlemen.
What? Would you still remember me?
It could be the worst musical performance in the history of late night.
For I must be traveling all night.
And by the way, how funny is it? I mean, how funny is it to bring out a band like that to play Freebird as the last song?
And why? I don't, is there a tie-in with the lyrics? I don't know.
If I stay here with you.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure. it's about a guy who has to leave, you know, but it's hysterical because that song is just has become such a joke over the last 30 years, you know, Freebird. But
yeah.
All-star band, and Conan was just so happy he was out there playing guitar on the whole song. They played the whole thing, like 9 minutes of Freebird.
Wow. That is not good. That is a terrible performance.
Bird, you cannot change.
But I love Will Ferrell. Yeah. I love Will Ferrell, too.
But that's not good. We can agree on that. We love Will Ferrell. That's not good.
Thank you. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Matt Money Smith, nationally syndicated sports guy, is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes to talk about the Super Bowl, which is now set between the Saints and the Pats. By the way, I got a great tweet this morning, Kevin, from a guy who... Excuse me, what did I say?
Pats, I think.
Saints and Colts, right? Yeah. Got a great tweet from a listener this morning who said, tailgating Colts fans trying to shut up the chanting Jets fans yesterday were chanting back, Jersey Shore, Jersey Shore, which I think is awesome because you really can't, you can't burn someone more than by reminding them that the Jersey Shore kids are from where their team's from, right?
Yeah, they lose.
So, very funny. So we'll talk about Brett Favre and Peyton Manning and all the great sports stuff that happened at football over the weekend. And how about your Lakers, by the way, while we're talking about it, Kevin? What's up with going into Toronto? What about that?
You know,
how that happened?
You got to have a letdown at some point in the season.
How about your Supersonics? Oh, wait.
All right. Let's turn our attention to something that we love so much, yet we are unable to put it on KevinandBean.com because we're not allowed to show these bits.
Well, there's a guy that's been injecting silicone into his unit.
Directly in.
Yes.
Is that safe?
I don't know, but...
No, it's recommended, Lisa.
I would say in the video, I would say that it's roughly the size of a giant watermelon.
It's huge.
It's...
You can't believe how huge it is.
It just, it's not...
Like, no humans
here's what
ever he, naturally been like that.
Here's what he said about it.
I sometimes refer to it as the blob.
I sometimes refer to it as the blob.
Oh, that's what you want.
Yeah, now,
a blob.
Because you haven't been to YouTube to see the video yet, I want to make sure everybody listening understands. We're not talking about a guy who injects silicone into his penis because he wants to make it bigger to use for sex. We're talking about a guy who is clearly mentally wrong, who injects silicone into his penis to a point where it's now the size of a cantaloupe.
It's not usable.
No.
It can't be used for anything. I don't even know. I mean, can he even pee? He must be able to pee, see how.
I'll give you the details on that coming up in his clips.
Oh, okay.
So here's the news reporter that's telling us what he's doing.
6 years of injecting silicone have left Mark unable to have sex, but he has no regrets.
He has no regrets.
Then Mark wasn't having sex before.
At all.
That's my thought, right?
He has no regrets.
That's not going to happen. And you know what? The pleasure and the adventure.
This is where he talks about he can't have sex. Now, either. So that he says that's not going to happen. But the pleasure that he's getting from this is much better. Much,
really? What
much
pleasure
greater.
Is that?
The experience that I've gotten from this is way, way, way better than the, whatever, 15 minutes of pleasure that I would get from being able to once in a while.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, wait,
this is way better.
What kind of pleasure is he getting out of having a cannon in his pants?
I don't know. I don't know.
Or a cannon ball, really, more accurately.
Literally, you can't wear a normal pair of pants if you're this size.
Doesn't it look like a giant diaper or something is all wadded up in the front of his pants?
Yeah, when he doesn't have it out, which he does in the video.
You know what he's getting?
What?
The only thing he desperately wants, attention.
Attention, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the pleasure.
Because he can't go anywhere without people noticing there's something going on.
Yeah, it's absurd. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's like those women that you see every once in a while that have boobs that are, you know, bigger than...
Giant.
Yeah, they're like...
Triple G or something.
Yeah, and you go, well, that's just a freak show. Why would you do that? That's this guy.
Right.
Bean, you asked about him going to the bathroom. Here's his answer.
There was a point that I reached where I could no longer stand up to pee. And so I started to learn, well, okay, I have to sit down. All of these adjustments, though, they just add to the excitement for me because it's just another reminder. And it's part of the odyssey of all of this.
Yeah.
He can't run, right?
Oh, God, no. No.
All right. Mike, what does silicone do injected into your body?
I'm setting him over
because
to the other microphone.
I mean, when women have implants, if they leak and silicone leaks into the body, that has been a huge issue in the past.
You keep silicone in a bag.
If you inject it right
into your skin, I can't imagine what it does to you. And doesn't it go into your bloodstream? And it just seems like there'd be nothing but trouble with this.
I was curious about the same thing. I was shocked to find out that he used silicone because, there are bodybuilders that have kind of like a distorted view of their body, and they'll just inject fluids and fats into their body to like pump up different muscles, and there's special type of things that you can use to spot inject. I did not know silicone was one of them. I thought the same thing that Lisa said. When they leak the silicone breast implants, it causes serious trouble.
Yeah.
So I don't know how this guy gets around just injecting it directly into his genitals.
And who could, by the way, speaking of which, who could take a needle and do that to themselves?
That would hurt.
Not me.
And where's he even getting the silicone? I mean, I don't think that's something you just can buy through the email, right?
Well, I mean, look, if you can get your hands on, you know, illegal medications and illegal Botox, I'm sure it shouldn't be too hard to get your hands on, you know, medical grade silicone.
He's been doing this for 6 years.
Getting a lot of it.
Yeah.
So, buckets.
So when he injects it into his junk, it swells up. The silicone just stays in that area of his body and swells up. It doesn't travel in his body?
I don't know.
I guess we'll find out.
I don't know. But then he realized that he couldn't sit down either when going to the bathroom as it got larger.
Then the size got to be that when I would sit down, I'd get wet.
because it's so big that it goes right into the water.
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
Wow.
Yes. Now, I have a clip of
him. How exciting.
I have a clip of him telling us why.
Okay.
What are your guesses? Why does he do it?
Well, Mike suggested earlier it was for attention, which has got to be one option.
Right?
I can't think of a reason. I mean, it's not attractive.
It's not usable?
It's not usable? Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to say for the ladies. He's mentally
ill.
What's that?
Sense of adventure.
I think Bean's right. Mentally ill.
Yeah.
His answer is that he's helping people think. I kid you not. Listen to this.
Think that you're a tool?
No. He really sees himself as, you know, a help to society.
I think that just the fact that people look at me and either wonder what's going on, what is that?
Okay, so look at me, really, is the reason.
Right. Yeah.
And then he goes on.
Why did you do that? And the basic questions that people ask, can you still have an orgasm? Things like that. I'm getting people to think.
About what?
Okay, look.
I'm getting people to think.
Yes,
I could tattoo a swastika on my forehead and have people look at me and ask questions. It doesn't mean that it's contributing anything to the world. It doesn't mean it's making my life better.
He's getting people to think, Bean.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I'm challenging their ideas of what a penis should look like, how a penis should
not
function. And so, yeah. So in those respects, I think that I am challenging what people think a penis should be.
Is he still doing it?
I don't know.
Is he trying to get it bigger?
I don't know. It doesn't work in any way now.
Is there any way? Is there any way he could reverse that at this point? Is there any way to go back to normal?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't have any idea
because it would be all.
It's not usable
everywhere. I don't think so.
Yeah,
that guy's making people think.
Well, he is making people.
That would be the next YouTube video if he really wants to get people to get him hits.
Is to pop it?
Yeah.
You could search for this and you'll find it, and you won't be happy. You won't be happy. I'm telling you right now.
You will be fascinated.
You will not be happy if you find it.
No, if you hear about this and are at all intrigued, you should see it.
I agree.
You
should see
it. I agree, but you won't be happy after you see it. That's all.
Well done.
All right.
Well done.
Wow. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 756.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman has joined us. Who's Robin to your Batman here for the showbiz beat there, Ralph?
It's the legendary Matt Money Smith.
Hey, I'm here to sabotage Ralph's showbiz report.
Not at all. You're always welcome.
He walked into
buddy.
The studio, walked over to Mike, and said, "Touch my groin." That's what happened.
He did. Said, "Touch my hip."
Oh, your hip.
Touch my hip.
Yeah.
I feel my.
All right.
Mike's kind of like a doctor, you know, on the show.
Yes, he is.
Really got to lean on, train somebody, and have him rip his pec off.
He's a hip boner.
I'm running a lot, and the hip's not cooperating.
His hip has a boner.
You have a spur?
The hip is on strike. I might have a bone spur. I might have hip displacement. You know, there's something going on down there.
Well, then you're running too much.
That could be the problem.
Usually with hip dysplasia, don't they put you down?
They do if you're a Rottweiler. If you're a Rottweiler, they put you down.
Horse. It's time to put you down.
All right.
Blue Factory for me.
Puppy Lake.
I'm glad you're here, Matt Money Smith, because my first showbiz news story has a little to do with sports as well.
Okay.
All right.
According to RadarOnline.com, Tiger Woods' wife, Elin, has visited him in his sex rehab.
Boo.
What happened?
Yeah. Tiger Woods' wife, Elin, has visited him in rehab and has returned home, say sources close to the couple.
Tiger said it was huge. He asked her if she could do him a favor.
Yeah, that'd be huge. Thanks. Apparently, he is undergoing sex addiction treatment at the Gentle Path, as we've learned in Mississippi.
Gentle Path.
He's had too many Gentle Paths. That's his problem.
Did you see their attempt to thwart the paparazzi by parading a Tiger lookalike?
No.
Yes. So, the National Enquirer has this photo that they say
it's a hoodie with a beard.
Trying to kind of lay low. The next day, no hood on a guy. It's black dude, a baseball cap, exact same shorts, exact same Stanford shirt.
Carrying a putter?
Exact same. Same watch, same styrofoam cup that Tiger had the day before. Oh, we got you. You guys thought it was Tiger. It was really this random black guy. I'm like, no, you look at the guy's face. It's a lot more round and a little bit different.
Funny. Oh, yeah. They tried to psych him out.
Yep.
Ralph, on TMZ last week, they said that there is a day where she has to go there, and then he has to confess in great detail all of his
That's part
escapades.
Of his treatment.
Yeah. So maybe that's why make amends. Maybe that's why she went, but...
A source close to the couple says the marriage is not over. They both want to save it.
I
hope they are able to, because they do have two small children together.
There's no way number of women that have come out that's... There's no way.
And a couple staying together is not always what's best for the kids, believe me.
Yeah.
I agree. Not necessarily always. So, especially when daddy has a stable of whores.
So you
and
think
mommy hates daddy.
You think there's no possibility that Tiger could come out of this and go, wow, did I learn my lesson about cheating?
No.
I'm not going to do it anymore.
Not really? With a dozen whores all over the country. This isn't a slip up where there's a problem in the relationship. The problem is him, and the damage that he did to her and that family is irreparable.
You know, he may get better over time, but he's going to have some slips.
I'd just be pissed. With someone else.
I'd be pissed that he ruined Perkins for me. You know, I can't eat at the Perkins anymore. I love going to the Perkins.
Now you can't look at every waitress without thinking.
He worked her for 12 months.
Whose stack is she putting syrup all over? little pancake joke.
What happened?
Yeah, what happened indeed. All right, let's talk about people who are better than we are, not worse than we are, okay? George Clooney, of course, did the Hope for Haiti Now telethon. Mm-hmm. Raised $57 million just in contributions on Friday. This doesn't include the corporate sponsorship, the corporate donations, or the iTunes money. So it's going to be much, much more by the time it's all said and done. But we were talking about it earlier today, and I got an email from a guy who asked me to not mention his name, but has worked on the show with Clooney.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something. You think George Clooney's such a nice guy? Well, let's find out. Let's find out with this email. Ralph, I worked on Hope for Haiti Now telethon last night. This came to me Saturday. And I figured you may want to know this. George Clooney is just a flat-out great guy who was so kind, helpful, and friendly to everyone on staff.
Oh, man.
From the lowliest production assistant to the highest executive producers, he would never hesitate to strike up a conversation with anyone. And to top it off, unlike most A-list producers who just attach their name to a project, he was living up to the title. He was actually working on the show. TV shows typically take on the personalities of the highest-ranking people on them, and this show was a great experience because of it. It was a great show, and thanks for plugging it on the Showbiz Beat throughout the week. Just as I thought, prick.
George Clooney, a-hole.
There's got to be something there, though. Does he have, like, a silicone penis? Or I mean, he's got to have a major fault.
Nothing
Nobody's
I can find.
That perfect.
Apparently he is.
Right. I want to mention, by the way, that you can still contribute, as Ralph mentioned, by buying the iTunes album. It is for sale. I think it's only $7.99, I think, for 20 songs, including the new one with Bono and The Edge with Jay-Z and Rihanna, all on the same song, which is a really good song called Stranded. But there's a lot of great performances from Friday night that you want to check out. I mean, you get something for it, and the money goes to a great cause.
Before I hit the showbiz birthdays, I want to mention the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday morning. Avatar still number one in its sixth week. $36 million. This week.
Wow.
Boy, people love Smurfs.
They do. Have you seen it, Money?
I have. I enjoyed it. Me too. It was a beautiful movie.
I thought it was gorgeous, but a little on the lengthy side for me.
Yeah, a little preachy, a little long, but just the eye candy.
I shaved about 20, 25
when I thought about high school, when I used to take shrooms and go see, like, Willow and freak out. Woo! Like, man!
What were you on when you saw Avatar?
I had the daughter with me, so I think I had popcorn and M&M's. Some kind of wacky sugar high. Yeah. Wasn't nearly as effective.
Legion was number two at the box office. The Angels are pissed. They're coming to Earth to wipe us out. $18.2 million.
That old woman crawled on the ceiling.
She did that.
I couldn't make a decision based on the trailer. I don't think they did a very good job on the trailers. It just looked too goofy. You know, like, it looked a bit ridiculous, and I thought that they...
You wanted a more realistic, the Angels are coming to Earth from heaven to wipe us out
movie? I wanted to be convinced that there was more there. It almost looked like they used all the great pieces from the film in the trailer, and I was like, and they wouldn't screen it for anyone. I felt like maybe
that
it was going to be a little light.
Scared, huh?
I thought it was really good.
You saw it.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
I saw 10 minutes of it down in Comic-Con last year, and I was blown away.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Yeah.
I wonder why they didn't screen it.
It's really good.
Book of Eli was third at the box office this weekend. The new Denzel Washington movie made $17 million. The Tooth Fairy. You can't handle the tooth.
You'll be proud to know.
That's what the poster said.
My kids wanted to go see that film.
I bet they
on
did.
On Saturday, and I said no.
Good man.
Why not? And I said we can't support that sort
good
of thing.
Good man, Money.
they couldn't quite get their heads around that.
You are a stout and sturdy parent.
And then you took them.
No, then we watched Elf on DVD.
All right.
So that's a film.
That's a film.
There you go.
The Lovely Bones was fifth. Sherlock Holmes, The Extraordinary Measures with Harrison Ford came in at the number seven. The Squeakquel of Alvin and the Chipmunks was eighth. It's Complicated and the Spy Next Door was number 10 at the box office this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays, Alicia Keys, who performed Friday night at the Help for Haiti.
How's my lazy eye look?
29 years old today. Actress Mia Kirshner, now I remember what I know her from. She was in The L Word. She was a star of The L Word. That's where we know her from. She's very, very hot. 35 years old. Actress Anna Ortiz from Ugly Betty is 39. And legendary blues singer Etta James celebrates her 72nd birthday today. What'd you say, Psycho Mike?
I said nothing.
He said fat.
Oh, come on. It's Etta James.
Yeah.
She's 72.
Doesn't make her not fat.
She's 72.
Right.
What do you want, to run a marathon?
No,
what do you want her to do?
Money should train her.
And lay off of Miss Cleo. She's not running a marathon, that poor girl.
She's the one saying it.
She is not.
What's wrong with you?
Why don't you put Etta James next to Aretha Franklin, then you tell me who's fat.
That's a good point.
All right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Matt Money Smith is in the studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, a nationally syndicated sports radio and television personality. By the way, Money, just a reminder, Petros isn't here, so you don't have to yell. We'll actually let you talk.
TV. Speaking of TV, I'm on a TV this whole week.
You are?
Yeah, I'll be on Jim Rome's Burning on ESPN.
Oh, really?
On the Evil Four Letter. Which is so evil when I'm on it.
Right, sure.
What I love about Money when he goes on TV is he never combs his hair. He always looks like he just rolled out of bed. I don't get it. I don't know what that's all about.
Well, I figure if I started, then I've got to continue to comb my hair. If I just kind of keep it going with the unkempt look,
You really go homeless. You really go all homeless when you get on TV.
I guess I was up for a part on this on this show, and the people said, "Yeah, isn't that the guy that's got like the messed up hair and the beard?
Yeah, this terrible beard.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, we're not interested in him.
Yeah, the homeless guy.
He does
clean up.
He can clean up. No, it doesn't look like he can. I mean, they were insistent that there's no way I could possibly clean up for the role they were looking.
We got a lot of stuff we need to talk about.
Yes.
For most of this NFL season just passed, folks were hoping for the eventuality of the two teams that were undefeated so late into the season, which are the Colts and the Saints, and now it has happened. Is this the Super Bowl that you wanted to see happen?
I you know what? The Final Four, I don't think it could go wrong. That was what
Any
was so
four?
Great about the championship game is you know, you have Colts, Vikings, and it's Brett Favre versus Peyton Manning, arguably the two best quarterbacks. I mean, two of the three with Tom Brady of their era. You have, you know, two cursed franchises, and the Saints and Vikings, really either of them go, and it's a great storyline. The Jets, of course, you know,
weren't supposed to be anywhere near
with their outspoken coach and their rookie quarterback and the best corner in the league in Darrelle Revis. I mean, they had a great personality that they would have brought to the media for the next 2 weeks. So you really kind of had you couldn't lose. The thing that is great about this particular matchup is, I guess, for the layperson, there's no defense. You know, I mean, you look at Brett Favre get the crap kicked out of him yesterday by the Saints defense, but
right.
When you're talking about Peyton Manning and the way he can dissect
but
defenses,
Brett Favre also got like 450 yards
oh, yeah.
of offense.
Oh no, I think they ended up with 200 more yards
yeah.
than the Saints, which is why I say for all those hits that people might see and say, oh, that's a good defense. No, they're really not. And Drew Brees is just as good at carving up D's, at least this particular season statistically, as Peyton Manning has been. So you're talking about maybe like a 42-38
awesome.
Kind of Super Bowl, which should be a lot of fun.
Here's my question, because I have come to the theory that one of the Saturday games, the championship or Sunday games before, one of those games is always the best game. Super Bowl almost always sucks.
Tends to happen. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, when you go into a Super Bowl, it just seems lopsided. You know, there always seems to be one conference that maybe has performed better than the other.
This doesn't seem that way.
No, not at all. Well, you have the top two teams. You have the best team from the regular season in the NFC and the AFC. And I guess when you go back, but you know, with the Super Bowl, you never know. I mean, look at the Giants and the Patriots,
yeah.
you know. I mean, the Giants were, you know, people they had to win three road games, and they make it to the Super Bowl and end up winning. I think if you looked back at it, you'd probably find half and half. I mean, half of the games suck. Half of them are pretty damn good until,
yeah.
you know, at least through the midway of the fourth quarter. And I don't anticipate this being any sort of blowout because teams can score so quickly.
Let me ask you a couple questions about yesterday's games. First of all, what switch was flipped in the Colts locker room that made Peyton Manning explode like he did in the second half?
He does that. I mean, that's what, you know, he is a cerebral quarterback. For all of his, you know, physical talents, he's a dude that can look at film, look at video, and find, you know, the soft spot and find out what he's going to exploit. And I think clearly that's what he did at halftime. He figured it out.
Why won't he snap the ball? Why does this happen?
Just hike it. Just say whatever it is you need. Stop yelling. Peyton, hike the ball.
He changes the play like 17 times.
Here's my theory on that.
Hike the ball.
I think what happened.
Just go.
Have you seen the Colts offensive coordinator, Tom Moore?
No.
He's about 80.
Okay.
And I think he just kind of hangs out with those reading glasses, and Peyton's got to figure out the plays and everything, you know?
Right.
He does it all.
He does.
I mean, he calls
the plays.
And it's based on what he sees.
But he calls 17 plays
yeah.
per down.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, he's got, well, here's, I mean, technically, I hope this isn't too boring and weird. The way that it works is all the receivers and the tight ends and the running backs have a series of plays that they are supposed to expect when they come out of the huddle.
Okay.
So they've got 3 to 4 plays that could be called, and they are responsible to look at the coverage that's on them and figure out for themselves which one's going to be the best.
How does
and
that work?
A lot of times when Peyton gets to the line, what he'll do is throw out to each of them what he sees and what he's expecting them to do as soon as he hikes that ball.
But does he have to run to each of them and yell? And then I think they use the entire time on him.
He's got a very soft voice.
No, he doesn't. Can't figure out what he's saying.
It's just hot.
Well,
hot.
Then hike the ball.
Series of hand signals. Hot. It's pretty
crazy.
Remarkable, though, to see what he... I mean, he is the best quarterback of all time. He really is. I mean,
really? Wow.
For all the people that I think want to talk about Joe Montana and his 4 Super Bowls and Tom Brady and his 3 and Johnny U, who really was kind of the first big-time quarterback, I think Peyton just... consistently, whether, you know, even though the Super Bowls aren't there, consistently he has been the best quarterback in the history of this league, just because he does it so many different ways. You know, Marino would just huck that ball all over the place,
right.
A lot of deep throws, whereas Peyton does everything, uses his tight ends, running backs out the backfield,
can he
multiple
do it quicker?
Receivers.
That's my question. Can he speed it up a little?
That's rules and competition committee
right.
You're going to have to get with, Kevin.
Right.
35-second clock.
I'm just saying,
you gotta
speed
deal
it up.
With there.
Should we take a break now and then come back and talk some more? Because
no one's coming back after that damn technical analysis. I promise it'll be a little funny.
We'll return after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Matt Money Smith is here in studio talking all things sports. About 3 years ago, Brett Favre was one of the most beloved characters in the NFL. Now he seems to be split. Now it seems, Money, in my travels, that there's half the people in the world hate him now, and
it's
half
strange.
The people in the world are still hanging on.
I mean, it really is strange. I think there's a couple of things that go into that. One, you know, Green Bay is kind of like the little engine that could franchise. I mean, it's freaking Green Bay,
yeah,
Wisconsin. It's owned by the town. You know, that franchise doesn't have some big billionaire owner that's the dude behind Six Flags like the Redskins. It is owned by shareholders that live in Wisconsin.
So all the people in Wisconsin can buy a piece of the team.
Yes.
Okay.
There are shares to buy of the Green Bay Packers. They have meetings, you know, shareholders vote on decisions they're going to make. And, you know, Brett Favre screwed them over.
Yeah. Many times.
For the most part. I mean, some people blame the front office for not giving them time. But, you know, you can't be held hostage by a dude saying, I'm going to come back. Well, maybe I'm not. Well, maybe I am. Well, maybe I'm not. And they finally had enough of it. So I think to see him go to their chief rival, now it used to be the Bears, but because the Bears suck, it's kind of become the Vikings, because the two teams were pretty good right alongside each other for the last 15 years or so. So to see him go to the Vikings, beat the Packers twice, get into the playoffs, perhaps get the Vikings their first ever Super Bowl championship, really would have been tough for Packer fans to deal with. And I think a lot of football was kind of right alongside. And whether it's his fault or not, the amount of coverage that guy draws in the offseason is just annoying. It really is. And a lot of it is because he likes the attention, and I firmly believe that. He likes people camped out in his front yard. He likes to be a story in June when the NBA Finals are going on. Right. And I wouldn't be surprised if it were the same again.
This year, he's going to say he's retiring again. He might come back.
Yeah, he said, give me a couple days. I mean, that's what he said yesterday on the podium. All beaten up. It was, I mean, he got his ass kicked so bad in that game yesterday.
It was like an MMA fight.
Yeah, I mean, you could see. And I know when you get old, this starts to happen. You could actually see bruises forming on him. I'm not kidding.
Really?
On his arms over the course of that game because
he's so old.
Yeah.
Money, how does such an experienced quarterback make the mistake that he made to allow that interception to happen on the last time that he touched the ball? How did he not just run that ball a few yards and hope to get the best position possible for a field goal for the Vikings to win it? What happened?
Well, you know, me and Simile, we're best friends. So here's what it's like. What's the one thing nowadays in cars that you just can't do? You can't run out of gas. I mean, you have mileage, you have a little thing on the odometer that says 47 miles to empty. There's an orange light that goes on that's a little gas pump. You just can't run out of gas. There's no excuse for running out of gas anymore when you're driving. There is no excuse for 12 men in the huddle in an NFL game. I mean, none. People are not confused. You have 30 assistant coaches on the sideline that direct personnel in and out of the game. So for people that didn't see, you're in field goal range.
Yep.
You know, it's a long field goal, but it's in the wheelhouse.
It's doable for their
guy. Longwells. Yeah, it's like 52 yards.
Which is way long.
57 yards after a 5-yard 12 men in the huddle penalty is not realistic.
Right.
So that less Brett, more, and I think there is some sense of disbelief in the huddle after you get that 5-yard penalty. Holy crap, so much for running the ball 2 yards and making it a 50-yarder. We now have to gain, you know, 7 yards. And I think that's kind of what happened with Brett. And he just tried to make something happen. That's what he's done his whole career. You know, forcing
He's a gunslinger.
He's a gunslinger.
That's what I know.
Hey, he's a warrior.
And he's 40.
He's a gunslinger. He's a man.
I hear he's 40.
Yeah, and he was bruised to all hell.
Yeah, he was. He was beaten up.
So we have a couple days of Brett Favre-free news, and then we'll start the...
It'll start coming. One of my favorite things from that game, by the way. Number one, the Saints kicker was stoned to the bejesus bells. I mean,
that dude... He really was a college-age stoner.
How young is that kid,
by the way?
They
called that timeout, man, and I was like, whatever, you can call that timeout. I'm still going to be the same field goal. I mean, his post-game was so... You know, I called my dad last night. I woke up at like 2:15. I was like, Dad, I got this crazy dream, right? I'm going to kick a 42-yarder from the right hatch. And then when the ball was on the right hatch, I was like, no way. That guy was epic.
He was great.
I mean, they ought to allow kickers to be stoned in the NFL, and they convert a lot more field goals. The best thing about that field goal, and for all of you who TiVo'd that game
yeah.
and still have it.
Mm-hmm.
When they do the slow-mo replay, I want you to pay close attention to the crowd that's behind the uprights, that the goalpost, okay?
Right.
There's a dude, like a super fan dude. I don't know if his face was painted gold, but he had the Shockey jersey, the Saints hats on.
Right.
And he, like, wasn't paying attention. And you can see him turned around. I don't know if he's putting his nachos down. But as the kick is up and going, you can see him in slow-mo, like, turn around, like, no, I missed it! as the kick splits the upright.
He's had season tickets his whole life,
wait,
probably.
What are you doing? What are you expecting to happen when the team is lined up for a field goal? Why is your back turned to that play?
Yeah. Wow. That's rough.
Is Who Dat the dumbest football slogan you've seen in a long time, or are you down with it?
I love it. I love it because it is so, you know, it's provincial. I mean, it's Who Dat.
It's Cajun, right.
That's what people say. You know, when you knock on a door in New Orleans, in Baton Rouge, in Thibodeau, and all Louisiana, Who Dat?
I would hate it. I would hate it if it was fake, but it isn't.
It's real.
That area.
That's the way they speak.
That is the way they speak. Yeah.
Who Dat? And same with Cincinnati. You know, they say Who Dat? Who Dat? Who they gonna come in here and be a Bengal? Cincinnati, by the way, is the biggest mind F of any freaking city in the country. And not to get too,
what do you mean?
Too much. It's in Ohio. So what do you think of when you think of Ohio? I think of, you know, the Rust Belt, the Midwest, guys talking like this, drinking a couple 2-3 beers.
Right.
But I speak like this. Oh, who they over there coming over Cincinnati now? Wait a minute, I'm in Ohio. Yeah, but right across the river, they had to dangle Kentucky, man. And that's kind of how New Orleans is. It's just the strangest vernacular dialect anywhere in the country. So I do like Who Dat Nation. Who Dat?
Well, we talked about this earlier today. I always think it's great for any sport when a team that's never been to the championship game gets the opportunity to appear. And that's one thing that's cool about New Orleans.
And, I mean, it is a symbol of futility. The New Orleans Saints has been for years. You know, the paper bag. Bags on the head were invented by the Saints. They were called the Aints. I mean, they knew heartbreak more than any other franchise. A franchise that was born, by the way, out of some wacky backroom political shenanigans. I believe the guy's name was Hale Gobbs or something, was the local congressman, the district. He repped the district of New Orleans, and he happened to run the committee that the NFL needed the approval to merge with the AFL.
Right.
So he met with Pete Rozelle and said, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to give us a franchise down there in New Orleans, or you're not going to get your merger, Mr. Commissioner. And he said, yeah, fine. Wait, you want a franchise? I'll give you a franchise. So they got the franchise on November 1st of 1966, and I believe it was like November 3rd, the merger went down.
Wow.
And that's how the Saints came to be.
And they've never been to the Super Bowl.
Never been to the Super Bowl in 42. This is their 43rd year, I believe, right? I can do simple math.
All right, last question.
Yes.
If you had to pick it today, assuming both teams are healthy and ready to play in Miami February 7th, who wins it?
If I had to pick it, I'm probably sadly going to go with the Colts. I just think Peyton Manning's that good. You know, I desperately want the Saints to win. I think it's such a great story, and God knows. We could go to Bourbon Street, Kevin, and you think the night we had Flaming Dr. Peppers for 9 hours and I tried desperately to drag you out of that bar?
That was rough.
I'm not going, you! You're the enemy of fun! 9 hours of Flaming Dr.
Are you kidding?
Hey, you, get over here. You ever heard of a Flaming Dr. Pepper?
Those are good.
Kevin definitely was the mayor of this bar. I mean, just putting dudes in headlights. Hey, what you doing now? Put my head in that headlight. You're going to drink this Dr. Pepper. It tastes like Dr. Pepper, but it's really a beer with booze in it. It's crazy.
Good
if
time.
They win the Super Bowl,
right, let's
Kevin,
talk about something else.
Yes. If they win the Super Bowl,
we're
just
going.
Imagine you and I can go to Bourbon Street and have that experience. I can go hijack the, that's probably not a good word to use these days. I can go take over the karaoke stage and sing Pat Benatar's Love is a Battlefield again.
Sure.
I mean, we'll have a hell of a time.
Yeah.
Just like old times, Kevin.
100% of the women will be flashing
I'm
if the Saints
you
win the Super Bowl.
That's true.
All right. We have to leave it there. Matt Money Smith, always great to have you on the Kevin Abid Show. Look for him on the radio. Look for him on the TV. Thanks for coming in, dude.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Man, thanks to the commercial, now I feel like I have to go out and buy a Cadillac. Damn you, Phoenix. Damn you. Rise Against on the way. Also, Nirvana, Slightly Stupid, Offspring, and more on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, a story you're not going to believe, but trust me, it's true.
It is from CNN. It's too good to be true, so you're going to doubt it.
Okay.
But if you search Japanese monks and rapping, you'll get the story. Buddhist monks in Japan are concerned that the young people are not joining the religion fast enough.
Sure.
So it's going to die out if they don't appeal to young people.
Well, I mean, I can understand that, and it's not just this doesn't just happen with Buddhism; it happens with Catholicism and a lot of religions that seem rooted in centuries-old traditions that aren't flashy, that don't necessarily that kind of music doesn't necessarily appeal to young people. I can understand why they would have trouble attracting new followers.
But the first sentence in this story, the Buddhist religion has largely remained the same over the past few centuries, but a group of monks in Japan are spicing things up by turning to alcohol and rap music.
What? Yeah!
Now we're talking.
To lure in followers.
I think now that we're would talking. Help.
They want to start a Buddhist-like bar.
Really?
Where they serve alcohol.
So you could become a Buddhist and monk and drink? And
apparently.
Well, let's find out, Lisa, because we asked producer Alex to line up the Buddhist monk that is in the CNN article. His name is Kansho Tagai. His street name is Mr. Happiness, and he joins us on the Kevin Beach Show right now. Hi, Mr. Happiness.
Yo, what's up, brown bags, bitches?
Well, we're doing fine. We have some questions about this story about you trying to attract young people to Buddhism.
What you got questions about, Randai?
Can you really drink? I mean, is that something that you're promoting now as part of the religion? Is alcohol?
Of course you can drink, be Buddhist.
Well, but a monk?
Come to the monk bar. I'll show you.
Yeah, you're opening something called the monk bar. That's actually happening.
Opening it, bitchy. Already been opened.
Already opened.
Wow, listen to you.
It already been opened, bitches, round eye, bitches.
All right. Take it easy.
Like with
the language.
I'm in the round eye. Bitches all right. Bar right now, bitches round eyes.
All right.
Okay, but listen, here's the thing. I thought that the point of the Buddhism is the chant is supposed to be peaceful and quiet and soothing and get you closer to God, no?
Yeah, here's the chant at the monk bar.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what we chant at the monk bar, bitches.
Now, are you supported?
Yeah, that's my chant.
That's a pretty good chant. Are you supported by all of the other monks, or are you out there kind of on your own?
They're old school.
They're old school.
I'm all about Buddhism 2010,
right.
Round that bitch.
Right.
Okay. All right, so are you, I mean, it says here that you are doing some rapping also. Is that true, Mr. Happiness?
I lay down fat beats and mad tracks, round
do.
That bitch.
What? If you could take it easy on the word bitch.
If you could take it easy on my crank, I appreciate it.
What? Okay. This does not seem like very monk-like behavior.
I'm a new monk. I'm a monk for the new generation of Buddhism.
That's what I hear,
all right.
Yeah.
What do some of these songs sound like, Mr. Happiness?
Well, I sent you already I dropped my new CD on you, Round Eye
yeah.
Bitch.
Yeah, we have it.
Is it called Round Eye Bitch?
We'll play it. All right, here's the first cut.
When we step up in the club, you know we get crunk. When we tip our bottle back, you know we get drunk. We be making all the beats that be slamming in your trunk. We're some thugged out motherfucking Japanese monks. Ho, 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 ho.
Wow. That doesn't sound like Buddhism ever sounded before.
That's right. It's brand new Buddhism. You never seen nothing like it.
Wow.
Buddhism 2010.
Now I'm coming in your face.
Well, let's not say that. All right. Do we have another clip from
yes,
the album,
we do.
Kevin?
Yes,
yeah.
We do. Here you go.
Pull the hood up on my road when I'm looking for a hoe. I'm harpooning all the tuna everywhere I go. I may be a monk, but I don't just chant. I got a rice-powered missile right here in my pants.
I don't think
okay.
That's not appropriate.
Yeah.
I don't think for a religion.
I don't think overt sexuality is what Buddhism is all about, is it, Mr. Happiness?
Party don't stop till the road drop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's just that ho and tuna and stuff like that just seems like it's very non-Buddhist.
First of all, the Buddhists were fishermen for a long time in Japan.
Okay, all right.
Oh, that's what you meant. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, they ship rotten dead crap tuna.
Okay, all right.
I believe we have one more clip from Mr. Happiness's album.
Here we go.
Throw your guns up in the air if you really love Buddha. I make cheese with so much ease, you can call me Mr. Gouda. Diamonds in my mouth and diamonds on my wrist. Got Buddha embroidered on the Glock in my fist. Monk life.
Wow.
That's right.
Well,
I'd like to join.
Great job, Mr. Abbott. Sign me up.
We're going to jump you in, though.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah. We'll beat you up with Zen.
Okay. All right. Well,
you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here now with yet another look at the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
Before I get to the showbiz beat, can I make a request?
Yes.
No. It's come to my attention that there's a new moment with Kevin.
No.
It would help me get my week started. It would help me get up and running.
You guys edit.
If I could just get a taste of this brand new moment with Kevin that apparently a listener tipped us off to from last week.
Oh, great.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Was the first girl, are you here to protect us, not hot? Was that the case? The first girl, let's say that.
That was a moment with Kevin.
There's Kevin talking about Legion there, about the different girls, the different level of attractiveness than the girls in the diner there that the Archangel Michael was protecting.
It's possible that I could have said that better.
No. It was pretty strong.
The tragic thing, and I'm so glad the listener wrote to us, Ralph, is that he called us out on we are so used to now listening to Kevin that we don't even notice anymore when something like that happens.
I know. Yes. It's like a crazy relative. It's like having Uncle Joe over for Christmas dinner, and he's like, "I don't like the black people," that's Uncle
Everything
Joe.
Everything inappropriate.
He's inappropriate. And he sounds like a little lunatic, but you just get used to him. You just start ignoring him.
Yeah. Now, I heard that interview, Ralph. Did you sense that Kevin was a fan of any of Paul Bettany's earlier work?
We don't have time for this. Time for the showbiz. Here's Ralph.
Remember when he went on and on about the Da Vinci Code?
That's right.
Oh, you're so good.
It's talking about you playing the guy who beats himself in Da Vinci Code. You're so good in that. Remember when you did that movie, Da Vinci Code?
We're all thinking, good. Is there a question or is it leading towards something?
You're so good in that. You find people say you're good in it? That? Paul?
How dare you.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Even though Steven Tyler has been denying rumors that Aerosmith is looking for a new lead singer, Joe Perry recently announced that they are looking for a new lead singer. Aerosmith will start having some auditions, Joe said this week. Hopefully we'll have found a new singer by summer and Aerosmith will be able to go back out on the road. So they are planning on touring without Steven Tyler.
Hey, not Aerosmith, Joe.
Yeah, that would not be good. At least Steven Tyler doesn't have a very unique, classic, legendary rock and roll singing voice.
Yeah.
At least anybody could sing those songs. Oh, sure. Wait a minute. See what Adam Lambert's doing. Maybe he could sit in for you. Apparently, Tyler has a bit of an addiction to painkillers.
Oh.
And he's still trying to work on that, and the rest of the band's like, whatever. Here's what Joe Perry said. We're going to find someone to get in there and fill that spot. Just like when Tom was sick and we got Dave Hull to come in and play bass.
Is that the same?
I don't think it's the same at all, no.
Lead singer?
No. Wait and see what happens. Let's talk about the top movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Avatar, $36 million in its sixth week, made it number one. Legion. It was, you know, the girl, the first Defend girl, pretty enough good. Was second at the box office, $18.2 million. Can we hear that moment, Kevin?
Just
one more time. Just one more time.
No.
Okay. Kevin talking about Legion here.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Was the first girl, are you here to protect us, not hot? Was that the case? The first girl, let's say that.
That was a moment with Kevin.
So she said, are you here to protect us?
Yeah.
And he said, no.
Not you, her. Right.
So you could see where it was supposedly coming from.
Sure, I guess.
If you really piece
absolutely.
It together.
Was the first girl to protect us not a good heart?
You could figure out what you were trying to say if you were willing to commit the time and energy to it. Yes.
All right. That's all I'm asking.
The Book of Eli was third. The Tooth Fairy was fourth. Lovely Bones, Sherlock Holmes, Extraordinary Measures, Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel, It's Complicated, and The Spy Next Door, rounding out the top 10 at the box office. By the way, Avatar has just passed The Dark Knight over the weekend to become the second highest grossing film of all time. So just a matter of time before it beats Titanic at this rate.
No kidding.
And don't believe the rumors about Brad and Angelina breaking up.
Those rumors have been around since they got together.
Yeah.
Haven't they?
This weekend, however, the British tabloid News of the World says that they've actually signed a legal deal that divides their mutual holdings in their estate and has hammered out a custody agreement regarding their six children.
Word is Angelia would remain the full-time parent and would give Brad visitation rights. But People Magazine says, don't believe that. Everything's fine. The reason this got fired up this weekend especially is because they were a no-show at the Golden Globe Awards. They put the show up together. Neither of them showed.
Okay.
And then this weekend, Brad turned up at the Hope for Haiti Now telethon all by himself without Angelina. So people have been speculating. But according to People Magazine, everything's fine.
I was really surprised, since News of the World is a less than reputable British tabloid, to see how many mainstream outlets went with this story, though. CBS Early Show and some of the others, that just it's like they're chomping at the bit for this to be true, whether it is or not.
Yeah, well, apparently, according to People, which is sort of the Brad and Angelina paper of record, because they have legitimately sold them photographs before, and they've given interviews to People Magazine. So that's a pretty reliable source that's not going on. So.
All right.
No worries. Today's celebrity birthdays. Not that anybody was actually worried about it anyway, I'm sure. Alicia Keys is 29 years old today. The lovely and talented Mia Kirshner from The L Word is 35. Anna Ortiz, who stars in Ugly Betty, is 39 years old. And blues legend Etta James celebrates her 72nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Six point seven, K Rock. Hey. It's KRQ. Hey. It's 9:37.
Ralph Garman is here with our final look at the showbiz beat for a Monday. What's going on?
Nothing matters but the new moment with Kevin. That's
how
all that matters.
How dare you?
How is that show? That's not showbiz beat information, is it?
About it. Everyone.
No one's talking about it.
They keep calling me on the business phone.
That isn't happening.
Demanding the brand new, freshly minted Kevin moment, and I promised I'd bring them to it.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Was the first girl, are you here to protect us, not hot? Was that the case? The first girl that said
that was A Moment with Kevin.
That's Kevin breaking down the movie Legion for us. Talking about the different girls at the diner. There.
Okay, explain to me exactly what I did wrong.
And that was in front of Legion star Paul Bettany, right?
No, that was during the movie beat when I was
movie
playing
beat.
A clip from Legion, kind of describing the Archangel Michael.
Good. I thought it was in front of him.
No.
Oh, okay.
It was me
remember.
Talking about the film, giving basically the breakdown of the plot. Then we played a clip where the Archangel Michael says, the girl asks, are you here to protect us? And he says, no, not you, her, because there's a girl who's carrying the baby that is the future of mankind.
Right, so I wanted to know if he was protecting the hot one.
Right, exactly.
That's what I was
going
for.
That's what you were shooting for, your highlighter.
I didn't really hit it.
Hot comedy.
Yeah.
And it came out more like... Better than just walking. Came out like that.
Kevin, you fail. You fail miserably, or you fail spectacularly. Depends on how you look at it. But regardless, you fail.
Okay, explain to me exactly what I did wrong.
I guess starting to talk would have been the first mistake. There we are. There's my voice. Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office, shall we? Do it every Monday. Avatar still number one after 6 weeks in theaters. It made $36 million this weekend.
This is Avatar.
It isn't Avatar as much as it is Avatar.
It's cash is what it is.
$36 million.
Legion, which, as Kevin knows, not the protagonist one good left hot.
That was a good movie.
Was second at the box office, $18.2 million. The Book of Eli came in at number three. The Tooth Fairy, in its debut, made $14.5 million. You poor suckers. The Lovely Bones was fifth. Sherlock Holmes was sixth. Extraordinary Measures, the new Harrison Ford, Brendan Fraser movie, seventh. Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel, It's Complicated, and The Spy Next Door, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend.
I was thinking earlier, we may have to call Mr. Ford to find out how he's taken the news of his movie, his poor grosses over the weekend, but then I thought he'd be so depressed that we wouldn't be able to hear him.
Yeah.
What would be the point?
Imagine
you get him on a
down
day?
Yeah.
People are demanding I cover the Gary Coleman story. It's so funny. You know, people listen to the show and they listen to Showbiz Beat. They go, I was waiting and you didn't cover the story.
They get angry?
Yeah, it's like greatest hits.
Huh.
So let's talk about it. Gary Coleman apparently
takes requests, by the way. So.
Was arrested on a misdemeanor count of domestic assault and tossed into a Utah County jail on Sunday. Apparently he got a little rough with the little woman.
It seems like it's happened before, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's happened once before. How does he...
I don't know.
...assault anyone, though?
I guess if he...
He's got seizures and half a liver, and he's 3 feet tall.
Is that a machine half the time?
Yeah.
I guess if he grabs something, he could do some damage, but...
I suppose.
What's my name?
I don't see him making it in prison.
Best part of the story is the mugshot, though.
Oh, the mugshot is spectacular.
The mugshot makes him look like he's possessed. It does. Like he should be crawling on the roof of the diner in Legion. That's what he looks like he should be doing. So.
We put it up at kevinandbean.com today if you want to check it out. Kevin said he looks like Darth Maul, which is a good pull because he really kind of does. He's got that evil Star Wars look about him.
Those kids from the Jersey Shore. They're renegotiating their deal for the second season of the popular MTV reality show. Here's the thing. They were getting $5,000 an episode.
That's pretty good. How many episodes? 10 or 12?
10 or 12, something like that, with the reunion show and
that's
everything
pretty
else.
Good.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
For just living in a house in the Jersey Shore and working at a t-shirt store and
punching each other
and drinking. Yeah. That's not a bad way to make $5,000. But that's not enough. They are closing ranks. They're saying they're hanging together like the cast of Friends, and they won't work at all. None of them will work unless they all get a pay increase. They want $10,000 an episode. Twice what they're contracted for. Apparently, they are taking their cue from the cast of The Hills, which, by the way, Jersey Shore gets better ratings than The Hills now on MTV. And those cast members get at least $100,000 per episode.
Wow.
Wow.
But isn't, I mean, what is the Jersey Shore going to do if they don't do this TV show? They'll go back to slinging fries on the boardwalk, right?
Yeah, they'll do whatever it was they were doing before we found them. Sure won't pay them $5,000, that's for sure, a week.
Yeah.
So, and it's not even a week. They film it in like, you know, a summer. So it's like eight weeks maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
That's total. Right.
Eight
that's
weeks
right.
worth of work, and then, work in quotes, because really it's just them drinking and dancing.
Yeah.
So you get $5,000 per episode for that. You know, come out with $50,000 at the end of the summer for hanging around.
Pretty good summer.
We've got Snooki.
We do have Snooki. And I hope we have her. Hope we have her soon. And speaking of hanging around doing nothing, John Gosselin has been seen hanging out at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah.
Hey! Really?
Why is he at the Sundance Film Festival? No need, right?
I don't.
Doesn't make movies? Not going to make a movie?
Nope.
Not a celebrity, not an actor, not a director, no real reason.
I think you're wrong. I think he's a celebrity.
Showing off his new girlfriend, a girl named Morgan Christie, who's an attractive girl in her 20s.
That's a stripper name.
Apparently. He's been hanging out with A-list people trying to further his career, friends say.
Does he have a career?
But more importantly, he's been going to all the product suites, they call them. Where you go to an event and the A-listers get to go into a hotel suite and pick up the free swag. He's been just crashing those left and right, just gobbling up as much free merchandise as he can. He's a classy dude.
He really is.
He is top notch. And lastly, Miranda Kerr, Victoria's Secret supermodel, said in an interview recently that despite her long history of stripping down to her underwear for cameras, she still gets a shock when she sees herself in a magazine or billboard because she can't get over how beautiful she is.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
She said that.
She said that.
Did she say that out loud?
Yes.
To people?
To people.
What?
I still get a shock when I see my beautiful face on a billboard or in a magazine.
Is she trying to be modest by saying the makeup people and the photographers do an outstanding job of making me look way better than I look in person, maybe?
Maybe.
Hopefully.
Hopefully that's what she meant and just stated it poorly.
Just didn't do it. Yeah.
Because otherwise it sounds like she's constantly startled by her good looks.
Yeah.
Man, I look good.
Oh, wow.
No, look at me.
I knew I was hot, but come on. I would so do me. And, you know, they're letting go. Well, not letting go. He's leaving. Simon Cowell leaving the American Idol after this season.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. By the way, new episode tonight. L.A. L.A. auditions tonight.
Oh.
Talk about who they're going to replace him with already.
Wait, are these still the bad ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
And apparently Jamie Foxx in conversation with producers to be the new judge on American Idol next season.
Really?
Yeah.
That's odd.
That's, I'm annoyed already. I'm already annoyed.
Would you watch Bean?
I don't know. I think it's a death blow for American Idol. Simon is half the entertainment value of that program. I think it's going to limp along, and maybe I'll check it out, but I'm not encouraged by Jamie Foxx as a name on the roster, I'll tell you that.
No, it doesn't work for me.
I don't know who I would want. Ralph, have you given any thought to who would be acceptable to fill in?
Kevin. I want Kevin to be the judge.
He'd be the
first
new
of all,
Paula.
They already had Paula.
Because he would have to watch the show because he was doing it. He'd be filming it live as it was happening,
so
and he'd be hating it. And then when they asked him what his idea was, you know, what he thought of the
his critique of the different people who are singing. He could say, "And then you go and put a song and some dance and dance."
Yeah, I'd rather die. Yeah.
Kevin hates a lot of the good performances just as much as he hates the bad performance. I don't think Kevin distinguishes between the two because he hates that kind of music so much.
But right? That would make it funny.
It's people singing songs I don't like poorly.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Not as good as the original artist, which I don't like.
Right.
I tell you who I do like very much is Piers Morgan. I think a lot of him enjoy watching him on whatever show he's on.
America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
You love him so much you don't know what show he's on.
Well, I'm just saying I've seen him on other things as well. I mean, I really enjoy him. I think he's a real straight shooter. He's the kind of guy I'd like to see rather than go for a big star like Jamie Foxx, who doesn't bring that much to
I know who I want.
Who's that, Psycho Mike?
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery would be great.
That would
he would be
awesome.
A no BS judge, that's for sure. How about Ozzy Osbourne? I'd like to see him.
Yeah.
His wife there already does that America's Got Talent. Why not have Ozzy do Idol? That'd be great.
I like it.
All right. We'll write down all our suggestions and send them right over to Fox.
Right. Well, I think we all can agree on the fact that... You.
Yes, that's true.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Blues singer Etta James is 72 years old today. Actress Anna Ortiz from Ugly Betty is 39 years old. Actress Mia Kirshner from The L Word celebrates her 35th birthday. And Alicia Keys is 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 9:47. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow we have an all-new program. We have Tenacious D in the studio.
What? How about that? Come on.
The D?
I was just watching their concert special this weekend. It was on HDNet.
Really?
On DirecTV. They had their concert. It was really...
Did they rock your face off?
Really entertaining. It was awesome.
They rock your face off. We're going to get into why Beaver Magazine needs to change the name.
I can't imagine why.
Are you kidding me?
Really? We're going to delve into that and try to find the hidden reason why they need to change their name?
And figure out how that works. Plus, how many years is too big of an age difference between a woman and a man? And then does it make any difference if he has a lot of money?
Yeah. Check this out, Ralph. We got an email from a listener, one of our internet listeners in South America. I think she's in Ecuador, which is right next to Portugal, right, Kevin? And
yes.
I think she's 23. He's 41. And so far it's working, but she's concerned for the future, and she wants our help.
She wants to know if that's too much. And to me, the fact that she wants us to help is a bad sign because we're not helpful.
The fact that he's a drug dealer doesn't bother her at all? That's not concerning her?
I don't think we know that yet.
Oh, okay.
Plus, another rousing rendition of Thanks for That Info, Bean.
Woo-hoo! Oh, how dare you!
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
You serve no good. You serve no God. You inspire only stupidity and hatred. And I would wish you to hell.
Wow, that seems... Wow. Harsh for just trying to give you some info. Gosh. All right. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. Why not stick around for Bush?
Yeah.
Also, Dan Black, the song Symphonies. We got some Linkin Park, Alice in Chains, and more right after this on K.